Hello, everybody, and we are here live on The Brad Gilmore Show.
What up, what
hey,
up, what up?
Hey, don't talk, Peaches.
Whatever.
I'm doing my intro, all right? This is how I get the most fans, because they just hear me in the first 10 seconds, all right? This is what gets the listeners. Mm-mm. Don't talk about my fans like that, woman.
They hear me roar.
Anyway, welcome to The Brad Gilmore Show. We have a good show to do for today. This is actually a historic Brad Gilmore Show, like I was telling DJ Motown in the car.
First time
the history
ever
that we have not interviewed a musician.
Ever.
I don't know if this guy actually has any musical, if he's musically inclined. I didn't ask him that yet. But
absolutely not. Absolutely
he's
not.
Okay, good. Then he passes the test, all right? Once again, I want to say that this show is a special broadcast.
I can blow a mean vagina, though.
That's about completely inappropriate.
That's the best I can do.
Oh, man, he's going to fit right in with that joke.
Great day.
He blows a mean vagina.
That's it.
Is that how it sounds?
I can play the clitoris. You never had to. Is it a little closer? Okay, cool.
Put the tip to your mouth.
I'm not used to the condom on the microphone.
Well, leave it on there.
Okay. Because, you know, a lot of people like spit and shit on here and, like, absorbs the, you know, STD and has it.
Yeah.
STD. No music, brother. No music.
Good. Well, this show is today where we have a nice little person who's helping us out with the show, a little supporter. So I want to shout out Incline Magazine. Make sure you incline your mind at inclinemagazine.com. You like that?
What did you say?
I have several things I'm supposed to say.
Okay.
All right.
Can I get a warning before that comes next
time? The designated laugh. Incline Magazine is the best in music, fashion, entertainment, businesses, and it shows love always, and the next generation will speak loudly with all their trials and tribulations.
This is real life, people.
That sounded very organic.
It did. That was
like
real life.
Very natural.
That just happened.
That happened like that. I didn't read it. If that's what you're thinking. Anyway, we have Ken. Is it Ken to the Fool or Ken to Fool or Ken to a Fool?
Man, you know what's crazy? The
are you related to someone who's a fool? Is that what you are? Ken to? Your kin?
Nah, well, actually, the name Ken to comes from one of my nicknames I came up with all my whole life. My name is Ken, and I'm a junior. My dad's name is Ken. So
is it Ken or is it Kenneth?
It's just Ken.
Oh, it's just Ken.
And so with that being a junior, it's just... Ken 2 came about a little bit more. A little bit more.
Is that
is that more like a rapper? Like the rapper?
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? Doing stand up, they teach you not to block your face. So I'm used to holding like this. And I know the rappers do it like this. So this would be. Oh, let me put my elbow up. So yeah. This looks like the money shot on a pornographic film. But yeah, like I say, man, you know, just growing up, that the nickname that was dubbed to me by my family. All my life, Ken 2, like I said, being a junior.
So you're like the second.
Ken the second.
And the second Ken.
So when Twitter came along, I was hosting this Monday night spot called Aztecas, and I had to create some type of catchy Twitter handle, so I just put the Fool at the end of my nickname.
Is that when you started your Twitter?
Yeah. Yeah, when I started doing that, Kane suggested
that's where
I
met him at Aztecas.
I thought it was gay at first. I thought
a gay bar?
No, I thought Twitter was gay. So
I think Twitter's the greatest thing in the history of the entire social media.
Yeah, wonderful. I've come to reap the benefits, but like when it first came out, I was like, Twitter, it sounded like some gay shit. But
yeah.
But then, you know.
I was kind of ignorant to Twitter. I thought like the past tense of tweet was twat, you know what I'm saying? And I was just way off on it, but it was just bad. I didn't get Twitter at first. I got it when I was in high school.
Well, twat is still good. I don't think we could just look down on twat.
No, you can never look down on it. You can just go down on it, you know what I'm saying?
Twat.
Bow. You see how we did that?
It's wonderful.
But yeah, so, you know, with that, I just put that Fool at the end of it, and here I am. Well, you know, my name is Ken Boyd, but I still can't shake the Ken to the Fool handle that I created for myself. So,
when you do stand up, are you billed as Ken to the Fool, or are you billed as Ken Boyd?
Man, I was just getting into that. It really depends on what circle I'm in. You know, if I'm in somebody from the Twitter realm will book me for a show, then they'll introduce me as Ken to the Fool. But if you
see
me,
your Twitter handle is like a branding tool. Like,
yeah, I know that though.
You know what
I gotta
like
get
that,
away from it.
See, I was smart. I just used my name.
Yeah, that's
you're
what I should have
been able to. It's you. You're that now. You know, people are saved in my phone under their Twitter handle.
But if I'm at the Improv, you'll hear Ken Boyd. Or if I'm at a A-list comedy club, you'll definitely hear Ken Boyd. No Ken to the Fool. You know, hey, but you know, that's just the way it works. If I gotta break through with these white people,
I gotta get it. We gotta win you. You gotta win us over.
your name as your real name on Twitter so we'll know who it is.
Ken Boyd sounds more white, though.
I know.
Like, so, you could probably break through with Ken Boyd.
I'm sure I could. You know, thanks for, you know, enslavement. I couldn't get no book if my name was Ubuntu or no shit like that. So. Praise the Lord for white rapists.
Oh, hallelujah.
Look at my man right there. Who's the Asian guy scared to laugh?
He's an Asian.
Is that a fact? Half black and half Jamaican?
Yeah. We'll go Jamaican.
We'll go with Jamaican.
Whatever your interpretation of Asian is.
16 jobs.
Yeah, he has a lot of jobs.
Is that a fact?
Man, don't he look like a mechanic?
Nah, he looks like a website builder. He looks like a mechanic, though.
Is it because he's website. Asian?
Yeah. Duh.
Tyler ain't gonna build no website. Hell, no. See? Either he ain't gonna build like no website.
He could be like the perfect, like the first hybrid of like kung fu artist and porn star. You know, he in the bedroom and the money shot. He was, "See ya!" Look at my man. He can see it. That's why he's laughing. Like, yeah, I have aspirations.
It's funny you mentioned that because.
Oh, yeah, you got footage on him?
Oh, yeah.
What do you have to say
about
that?
He just hit a terabyte of porn. You know what I'm saying? He's got a stack.
This mic is. Like, I hear myself. I'm far. You're not typically up on the mic.
You're not typically up on the mic?
No, I am.
That's not what I heard.
Yeah, that's not what I heard either. Peaches, I heard you like to be as close to the shaft as you possibly can be.
Makes me happy.
Man, your hat is perfect.
I appreciate that.
I held it as long as I could. He's just like the real life Zach Morris. Like, you see the shit on TV.
And you're like, no, that's fake.
You don't never see like the real life.
The real life.
What's the name? Quaff?
That's a bouffant.
It's a bouffant.
That's a bouffant.
Is that what you call it?
That's what that is.
That's what it's called.
He's just so glamorous, man.
I appreciate that.
I can't stop looking.
Stop.
You in love, aren't you?
I'm not in love, but I like him a lot.
He might text me later. How'd you get started with the whole comedy thing? Like, were you like a funny kid growing up? Is that what it was or what?
Yeah, most definitely the funny guy, the funny kid around the family, around the school. And I say, post high school, it became, a personal challenge to me. Like, it's all in my bio, but my thought process was, you know, could I get a reaction, the same reaction I get out of my friends and my family? Could I get that same type of response from complete strangers? So I started to build it in my mind, well, you know, just like I said, like a personal challenge. Could I do it? Could I really do it? So 21 years old, let's say this is 2006 or something like
Damn
that.
Damn, you old.
Ain't I, though?
Yeah.
I'm not old. My dick is just large for, you know,
for his age.
For your age. Exactly. Right. That's how that works.
And this is how I start answering, you know, how old are you? 8 inches?
That's hilarious. I think I'll start using it.
Brad has a secret mission today to see which one of you is funnier.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a comedian.
He's winning.
I'm not a comedian.
He's definitely
But winning. I have aspirations, you know what I mean? I'm a
Do
fan.
Do it, man. Do it. Do it. A guy that moved. He used to do stand-up. His name is Don Johnson. He's from Oregon, but he moved to Vegas. Now, I heard him give the best advice ever. Somebody expressed to him they want to do stand-up. You know, like, if you actually think about it, what's the worst that could happen? And like, if it goes bad, you just go back to being the Brad Gilmore that you always were.
So that's true.
It's not like if you bomb, people just pull out guns and shoot you right there on the stage.
That would be bad.
That would be terrible, but that doesn't happen. You know, so
have you ever had an experience where you went out on stage and people were just like, this guy's not funny?
Absolutely. That's how you get funny. I don't think any person that you've ever deemed funny or viewed to be funny hasn't.
How does that not like kill your ego? You go out on stage and you spend all this time writing.
What do you do?
Well, you know, that's funny you ask me that because I'll ties into continues to the story I was telling. Like I said, 21. I set the challenge in my mind, okay, I'm going to do it. And I would go to these open mics around the town. This is how new age I was. I didn't know where all the comedy clubs were, so I typed in the Yahoo local open mic comedy, and I put my zip code
in.
And I found out about this place on the south side called Times Square. And they did open like a real hole-in-the-wall, old-school black Jerry Curl cowboy boots, cowboy hats. It's like 11
Can
people.
Can you wear a cowboy hat with a Jerry Curl?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you want to wear
a couple that do.
Yeah. Your name has to be Peanut.
You know what, you know what I'm saying? With a gold tooth in the front.
Open face. Has to be open face.
With a cross in it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And a lot of gold. So I go there, and I'll just go week after week after week until finally the owner said, hey, man, ain't nobody a fan that much. You must really want to do this. And I was like, yeah, I kind of want to do it. He put me on next week. It's terrible. I bombed. You know, it was zero laughs. The biggest laugh I got was like somebody was like, and that was me. I did that when I was on
stage. Oh, that was you? Yeah.
So, you know, and then, like I said, I was, like y'all just, you would think it would go like, I was destroyed. I was like, okay, it was a challenge in my mind. I tried it. I sucked. Let me go and do something else. So for the whole age of 22, I didn't touch it. I didn't try it. I said, okay, I tried it. I failed. I'm done. Let me finish school or get some type of trade. Let me be a plumber or electrician or something. But it's like a constant, I guess it is with anything you do. If you're really passionate about it, you can never really just
give it up. Yeah.
Because I had that constant.
That tap and that itch.
Tap on the shoulder, man. It was like, hey, come on. I know you failed. Come on, try it again. Come on. And I was like, I was really debating myself. Like, man, fuck you, man. I tried it. I failed. You know, you kissed my ass. And I was like really conversing with myself this way. But then, you know, I finally won myself over and convinced myself to do it again. This time I went to an actual comedy club instead of a bar or a hole in the wall. A place called, it's closed down since then, but there's a place called Right on Wall named The Laugh Stop.
Yeah, I remember The Laugh Stop.
Remember The Laugh Stop? And they had open mic, I think, on Mondays. And so after school and after work, I'd go there, sign up, and here it is. All right, if it don't happen this time, man, you can kiss my ass. I'm really done. But fortunately, it went 1,000 times better.
But here's the thing, like,
that's when I got hooked.
I remember I went to a play out in Galveston one time, and it was a comedy play or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there, and I didn't understand some of the jokes, but since everyone around me was laughing, like, I would laugh with them because I'm expecting to laugh because it's a comedy thing.
It's contagious.
Do you feel like the fact that you went to a comedy club, people just expected to laugh?
Most definitely.
I think you have to be in a setting to laugh. You have to be ready to laugh sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, you can't just be funny on.
It could go either way. Because, speaking about comedy club or comedy shows in particular, just performing professionally on a microphone, aside of being funny, just around your peers or your comrades, whatever, if you're actually on a show and you're expected to be humorous, there's a big difference in the crowd and how they perceive you and how they receive you, pertaining to the quality of the venue or lack thereof. Now, like I said, that place. A lot of people didn't know it was a comedy show happening, or they probably didn't know it was an open mic. They probably just came to drink, or they came to shoot pool, or they came to listen to some music, whatever, versus back to that place, they might not be as receptive because they didn't come there for that, but versus a comedy club, they paid their money. They're there. They expect to see something funny. So the mindset is already there, so it makes it that much easier to perform.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still glad I did that because it made me much better, or those type of venues, it make you a lot stronger. So when you can go to the comedy clubs like the Improv and things of that nature, your performance is that much stronger.
It's like just on point.
Yeah.
So there are not too many like little comedy clubs anymore, are there?
There's two in the city of Houston. When I started, it was four. Two closed down, and they were both owned by the same guy. One was oh, that's my jam. I just heard the Don Cannon beat drop. Guess who's Zach? Oh, it's a remix. But anyway, excuse me for my niggardom. But the nigga here beating just fucked the whole conversation.
What?
But yeah.
Song 4 minutes, I'll be big.
But one, like I said, like we said earlier, was The Last Stop. And one in the Woodland, I think the Woodland / Spring area, place called The Laughs Spot.
Laugh Spot and Laugh Stop.
Exactly.
Not a really creative guy when it came up to
that. Not exactly. And like I said, they both shut down now. So now today you got
it's just the letters mixed around. You understand that?
Excuse me. You got the Improv, which is, you know, over my IT, and then you got Comedy Showcase, 45 South and Fuquay.
Oh, that's right by my house.
Excuse me.
They do defensive driving,
exactly.
too.
Exactly. Yeah. You familiar? I've never
been there. I've seen it, though. I pass it every day of my life.
That's more of the you know, the Improv is the A-list comedians. Whoever you see, who's ever hot, you'll see them at the Improv.
Okay.
Whatever type of C and D-list comics that you probably never heard of, they had a small role in a movie or on a TV show, they'll go to the showcase.
Okay.
You know, it's not really just as strong as the improv. So it's two actual comedy clubs, but in between those, you have comedians that might start their own room for their own practice or just for the love and the passion that they have for the art form. So they'll just take a lounge or any type of club and, you know, get in good with the owner and say, hey, I want to start a comedy night here. And, you know, it's actually suggested by the older comedians. That's how you get weekly practice on being in front of a crowd.
So do you perform every week or what?
No, I wish I could, but I should perform every week. But you know, it's always some type of open mic going on. I usually don't just, even though I should go to the open mic because, you know, that's how you stay sharp. But I usually just, you know, do whatever show I got coming up. Like this weekend, I'll be at the Improv all weekend from Thursday to Sunday with Tony Rock.
Okay.
Well, you know, I'm sure everybody knows it was Chris Rock's younger brother. Mm-hmm. So that'll be, I'm working, but at the same time, the whole weekend is practice for me. That's what, six shows in one weekend.
You excited?
I'm very excited.
Is this your first time at the Improv?
No, absolutely not.
No, remember, he's an A-list comedian.
You know, sometimes
Peaches.
You gotta check. They
no, I'm not an A-list comedian, but I'm...
You said the A-listers go to the Improv,
A-listers do go to the Improv, but I'm just featuring for them. They're not there to see me.
So you're like an A-minus lister?
I would say I'm...
B-plus, maybe?
I'm not even on the map yet, to be honest with you. I mean, there's a lot of people... I'm from here, and a lot of people still don't know who I am. So,
what do you think? Like I noticed, like, because I first heard your name when Dante Higgins was on the show.
Oh, that's my guy.
And you were on his album.
Yeah, yeah.
You did that skit right before Snotty Nose Bastard, right?
Yeah, yeah. I've been on several of his projects. Rhymes for Weeks, I did.
He has all kinds of rhymes for months, days,
rhymes for
years.
Seconds, and rhymes for millenniums. And right. I've been on several.
He's actually going to the metric system now. It's like rhymes for centimeters, and it's weird.
Yeah, most definitely. And yeah, that's my guy. That's one of my very close friends in the industry. And he kind of fucked up my career because he had a line in one of his albums. He said, "People, I started telling stories. Now you telling stories. Kentu the Fool on my skits. Now he on your skits. So now everybody was like, oh, okay, well, I'm not gonna get on Ken. I can't fuck with Ken.
First of all, I'm like, look, as long as you pay, we don't care what happens.
Yeah, you would think that, but you know, they
politics.
Ever since that line, man, he's like, okay, well, I don't, you know, people. They kind of shed away from me, but I like to.
I am here, however, to do your skits. Me and Brad. Brad and I will do your skits.
Yeah, I'll do your skits.
Well, high five for everybody around the table.
Bow. Thanks. Motai. Bow.
Bam. But yeah, that's one of my. As a matter of fact, I got something. Me and him, we're planning something with each other because we kind of share the same fan base.
Uh-huh.
For me doing his skits, and he's at every one of my shows, and we're very, very good friends. The best thing about me and him, outside of us being very good friends with one another, we're actually big fans of one each other's art form. And
it's always good, so you don't feel like you have to be like,
yeah.
When he's like, when Don, like if you didn't like his music, and he's like, hey, Ken, can you come do the skit? Be like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's never like that. It's never like that. I'm actually,
sure.
Man, I love to watch him work, man. I love the finished product. And matter of fact, he's having his album release concert. What's the day? Like
January, he texted me today.
January
13th.
13th. Yeah. It's early. It's early in
one of the two.
In next month.
Let me find out.
Yes, right. But it got moved. It was this month, and then it got moved or something.
January 3rd at Warehouse Live.
Yeah, January. I'm hosting that. If you look at the bottom, hosted by Kentu the Fool.
Nah, I don't get that.
Okay, excuse me. But you know, every concert he has.
The thing at the end, it says how many tickets you need. I don't see any kin to the fool.
Oh, you got the actual
text
message.
I got a text message.
On the flyer, excuse me. I'm on the flyer.
He's on the flyer.
My bad.
But yeah, that's my guy, man. He's a very, very close friend. Matter of fact, he made my DVD. He's going to make the final cut of my DVD. He gave me like a... I didn't ask him to do it. He just jumped in front of the camera and gave me a quick drop, so I'm going to put it at the beginning.
What DVD is this? Tell me about it.
This is my first comedy DVD.
Uh-oh.
It's entitled Mama Raised a Fool.
Uh-huh.
I figure since, like she said, that Twitter handle is like your branding, so I figured I'd just go and use it and, you know, do the opposite of the popular saying, Mama ain't raising no fool, or Mama didn't raise a fool, so I just embracing the fool.
No, she raised a fool.
Mama raised a fool, man.
I feel like sometimes comedy, like, I like that, like, you put some kind of thought behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like sometimes names of specials are god-awful. Like, what was Chris Rock's Bring the Pain?
Yeah, Bring the Pain.
I didn't like that.
He had Bigger and Blacker.
That was kind of funny.
He's a small black guy, like, what?
Kevin Hart had a laugh at my pain. What is it about comedy and pain? I guess it's like, are you depressed?
Because, you know, they say comedy is telling a real story.
I'm a different brand of comic because...
You're not dark and depressed. Like, I know Jim Carrey, like, lost his mind in, like, comedy and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like,
and then he kind of made the transfer into, you know, in the,
action, just, acting.
In the movies and acting and things of that nature. It can be, you know, aside from popular opinion, you know, you don't have to be this deep, dark person with this troubled past and
that's what I'm saying. Like, why can't you just be like lighthearted?
And but yeah, that's me. That's it all. Well, okay, let me take you a little bit deeper into it. It all depends on who you are as a person. At the end of the day, your gift and your talent is your gift and your talent.
Yeah,
and that will be your set of gifts and talents throughout your rest of your life. Now, how your life goes determines how you express those gifts and those talents. Such as, let's say, even, you know, outside of coming, let's go with Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah,
you know, a heavy user, and made him insane on the strings. Now, if he was just cum laude, or, you know, Mr. Roses and Sunshine, would he not be the same Jimi Hendrix? His ability would be the same, but his expression would be different.
Right.
So, with me personally, I haven't had the perfect life, but, you know, I've had a, you know, nice childhood. I grew up in single parent household, that never affected me in a way to where I was just, you know, fuck the world, or, you know, everybody owes me, and, you know, or woe is me. And I'm a constantly happy guy. It takes a lot to get me down, so that it reflects in my comedy, you know. But, you know, the best to ever do it, Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
All the demons in the world. Mother was a prostitute, dad was a John, grew up in a whorehouse, addicted to everything, heavy crack user. You know, you look on the interviews, they might say free base, but at the end of the day, you know, it was crack. It was a crack pipe he was using. That's how he blew himself up. So, you know, you might be led to believe to think that it takes that to be a excellent comedian or even a noteworthy comedian. But, you know, at the end of the day, man, if you got a set of skills and a set of talents, and you work hard to, you know, master your craft, you'll be all right. So you
think Richard Pryor is the best to ever do comedy?
Well,
can I ask you something, actually?
Sure.
Complete opposite question. I threw you off right now. That was my trick. You know, I ask you a question, then I cut you off.
Okay.
I don't care. I don't care for your answers. No, what do you think of white comedians? Do you find them funny? I heard an interview with Cat Williams, obviously not recently because he's lost his fucking mind.
Yeah, he's a troubled guy at this
point.
What
is his issue?
He's using. I don't know what he's using, but that's the telltale sign when it comes
bath salts or something.
When it comes to council show after council show after council show, that's the ultimate telltale sign of any celebrity that they're on some type of extreme drug.
Yeah.
You go back to Whitney Houston, you go back to the Temptations. You know, that's, you know, whatever they release in the public, like, okay, it was Live Nation. They said they didn't want to be affiliated, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, Live Nation ain't finna cancel your show the night of. You're going to have some type of pre-warning.
Look how dumb he looks.
Doesn't he look off? Yeah, look at him.
He doesn't
been
look
been
right.
He has been right since
Pimpin'.
No, what was that one? The one that he had the short haircut and the big buckle. He tried to redo that one again.
Pimp Chronicles was the first one.
Yeah, he ain't been right since then.
No, I think he was funny. Like American Hustle was funny.
American Hustle.
That was the last
American
one.
Hustle was his best one.
Yeah, yes, it was hilarious.
He peaked there.
Wait, is American Hustle the one where it's the everyday I'm hustling?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's when it starts.
He had the tuxedo.
Yeah.
He did it in Chicago. It was actually
that was so funny. I've never laughed that hard at any Cat Williams. But he keeps canceling shows.
I know, because it's like now then I could see, like, Kevin Hart's best one was probably like what the Laugh at My Pain one.
Uh-huh. That was the last one.
And after a while, he's just telling the same stories just in a different way. Like, they weren't the same. Like, one of my favorite comedians was Bernie Mac.
Oh, like,
the deaf comedy, the first deaf comedy he did with the I Ain't Scared of You.
Yes.
That's my shit.
Man.
Like, that's my shit.
It's so much.
I ain't scared of you, motherfuckers.
It's so much that goes into
kick
that,
ass. That's my shit.
That particular set. I don't know if y'all. Well,
I watched the documentary on Netflix. He was like.
There's a documentary on it? What's
it
called?
It's the Bernie Mac documentary.
It's called I Ain't Scared of You, huh?
Yeah, it's called I Ain't Scared or something like
it.
That.
I'm watching when I go
But
home.
Basically, he was saying that, you know, when he went out, that wasn't part of his set. He was saying that because the crowd had booed everybody up to him.
Except Chris Tucker.
Yeah, except Chris
Tucker.
Chris
Tucker tore it down.
Yeah, except because that was a Michael Jackson one. The come on, Tina.
Yeah. He had the black on. And then after Chris Tucker, it was a guy came out who completely ate shit. So then after him was Bernie Mac. But before Bernie Mac came out, Martin Lawrence couldn't even get the crowd back.
Yeah.
Martin Lawrence was struggling. Like, okay, I'm going to just bring out the next guy. which was Bernie Mac.
So then he
Bernie Mac really had no choice but to succeed. So that's when he came with the,
you know, I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Kid Capri was right on point with the
kick ass.
You know, so, and then, you know,
if you've never seen that, I suggest you watch it.
It became to be one of the most iconic 5 minute sets, 5 to 7 minute sets
ever. It's a great set.
I need to watch it. I hadn't seen it. Is the set in the documentary too?
The show not the whole. It's on YouTube though. You can YouTube. Yeah, yeah. But it's Def Comedy Bernie Mac.
Is Def Comedy? Is the whole thing somewhere where I can watch it?
Yeah, whole set.
The whole set. It's on YouTube.
About the whole Def Comedy gym.
Oh, I'm sure you can find a DVD with it.
You mean like every?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They got.
They did seasons.
Yeah. They used to sell. I think it was like mail order or something. Do they still do that?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I watch them on YouTube. They have the clips. That's how I do the Def poetry.
But yeah, if you want to watch that one in particular, you know,
I'll send you the link to that one. That's my favorite one.
Bernie Mac was funny. You know who I found funny? I found Corey Holcomb to be funny.
Corey Holcomb is raw, man.
That guy's funny.
He get up and just say whatever the hell he
wants. What was the thing they did with Shaquille O'Neal? Remember, was it Shaquille and Kevin Hart put something together? It was Shaquille O'Neal's like comedy something.
It was one of the. He does it every year. You talking about the All Star Comedy Jam?
Yeah, All Star Comedy Jam.
Yeah, he does that every year. And then some woman came out on stage.
Yeah,
dancing
and he was
and
like. He was like,
What Lamar older wife doing out here?
Some like crazy looking ugly white woman like runs across stage and he was like, who let Lamar Odom wife out the house?
Time was perfect because he was coming to the end of the set. And I don't know if they set that up or she was just really out of control or popped the molly and came out of there.
Who was the comedian who kept saying, because that guy in the audience had like that big cup. He was like, he was thinking, how can I shut it down tonight?
Was that D-Ray?
Yeah, it was D-Ray. It was D-Ray.
Yeah, D-Ray is hilarious, man.
I saw him at the improv when he came the last time. He was funny.
Man, I've never seen a live comedy show.
We're gonna have to go to one.
Well, I'm now all weekend, man. Come see it.
Matter
of fact, hey, how about this? If y'all got you pick out what day, I'll put you on my list, man. So you just come.
Let's do that.
Just show up.
You're there Saturday?
I'm now Thursday through Sunday, my brother.
Thursday through Sunday. What day you want to go, Peaches? Pick a day.
Let's go Saturday.
We're gonna go Saturday.
We got the 8 o'clock show and we got the 10:30 show.
I don't know. Which one?
In my experience, the absolute doing these weekends, the best show I've ever had is always on the Saturday show, 10:30.
Let's go
10:30.
Right. No.
Okay.
Or is it the 8? Second show?
You only have two options.
Yeah. Second show.
We'll do that.
Do you find white comedians funny?
I like Gary Owens.
Yeah, I did a weekend with him a couple months ago at the Improv. He's funny.
It was so bad. I had won tickets to that.
All right, no, I got you.
I got tickets from him, from his manager for those, and I couldn't go.
I met that fella. His roadman. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, because Gary, whenever he comes to town, he always winds up having, like, extra tickets, and, like, if you tweet him, they'll put your name on the list, and they'll give them to you. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of people did that. Matter of fact, a lot of comedians will do that if they come into town just to... they might get bad press for it. Or he can't say he has to give out tickets, but it's just a surefire way to build your fan base.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing, you know, because I remember Gary Owen from BET.
BET.
What was it called? Comic View.
He's a white black comedian.
Oh, okay. He's married to a black woman.
He's a white guy. He has a strong black following.
Okay,
he has a crossover to his own people.
Yeah, because he started off like on Comic View, and you know he had a black wife and. You know, so like all his jokes was based off, you know, like black women and him being a white guy.
Yeah,
I'm sure that was funny.
From Cincinnati, Ohio, but it's perfect that she brought it up because it goes right back to your question.
Yeah,
he's hilarious.
Yeah.
He's retarded. He's downright
funny. But like, cause funny. To me, this is why I brought this up because I was listening to Cat Williams, and Cat Williams like 1 year was like the second highest grossing comedian of the year, right next to Larry the Cable Guy, right? Okay. And they asked Cat, what do you think about being second to Larry the Cable Guy? And he's like, I think Larry the Cable Guy is hilarious. He was like, I listen to him, like he's like, I sit there and we'll watch him and be entertained.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I don't see Cat Williams and vice versa. I don't see Larry the Cable Guy laughing at Cat Williams. You know, do you? You as a black comedian, can you like make that crossover and find funny in white humor? You know what I mean?
Well, the thing, if you're really serious about whatever you do, whether it be stand up, academics, athletics, or whatever it may be, you can't label yourself as just one thing.
Yeah.
You know, if you ask me, I wouldn't say I'm a black comedian. I would say just I'm a
comedian who happens to be black.
Now, don't get me wrong. I didn't take any offense.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But I'm really trying to. Explain to you and you know all your listeners that if you really want to be great or the best that you can be at what you do. You can't limit yourself. I can't write a joke and say, okay, well, how is this going to work just for black people? I really don't care anybody else. Yeah. When the black people come, I want them to laugh. In the industry, they have a saying, funny is funny.
Funny is funny.
You know, if it's just downright funny, no matter who's at my show, they're going to laugh. Black, white, Asian, old, young, Republican, Democratic, whatever it may be. If something is just simply funny. So, with that being said, yeah, even me, I find Larry the Cable got to be funny. I find Cat Williams be funny, you know, prior to his current
situation.
Yeah, situation. So, with that being said, you learn to appreciate forms and styles of the art form that you're not used to or you didn't grow up around. Like, perfect example, me, one of my biggest influences is John Leguizamo.
Okay, yeah, I know.
Because he's just the ultimate. He puts on these grand shows to where he's like 8 different characters at one time, even though Eddie Murphy does it too. But John Leguizamo is such a performer to where you can actually see the distinct characteristics and everything in each individual person that he's playing at the particular time. John Leguizamo, Rodney Dangerfield, Steve Martin. Even I learned some things from George Lopez. Even so, yeah. if you're serious about it, you really study all forms of the art form and not just limit yourself to one thing. But you know, some people say white people not funny. Some people say women not funny.
How do you feel about women comedians?
I think they're funny, and you know how strongly I love Roseanne Barr. Women. She's hilarious in certain ways. You know, sometimes she gets on my nerves. I'm like, don't run for president, you crazy grandma-looking woman.
She was on ballots.
She was on
states.
A couple ballots. Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, for sure.
That's hilarious.
And I don't know if that was like the ultimate joke or.
Well, you never know with a comic, and then that's the saddest part. We could be dead serious, and everybody like, oh yeah, that's funny. You doing that? I'm like, no.
Andy Kaufman. Think about Andy Kaufman. Everyone thought that when he had cancer that that was a big joke he was trying to pull.
Yeah, a lot of people still say, well, he's probably not dead. He's probably just still waiting to emerge.
And come back as Tony Clifton or something.
Yeah, all this type of crazy nonsense, man. So it's a gift and a curse. But I'm a big, you know, going back to women, I'm a big Lisa Lampanelli fan.
She's funny.
Huge, big Lisa Lampanelli
She's
fan.
Funny.
So, like I say, man, funny is just funny. It has no face. It has no shade. It has no color.
Okay, like... When you mention people like, you know, Richard Pryor and Bernie Mac and, mm-hmm. and other guys, like they're all guys, you know, who especially like Richard Pryor had a lot of 4-letter words in his mm-hmm. comedy routine, you know. But do you find someone like – I like Andrew Dice Clay. Mm-hmm. I think he's a little dirty sometimes for my taste, but he's funny still, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? But then in the same respect, you have to listen to Jerry Seinfeld. You know, mm-hmm. no, he's the Will Smith of comedy. You know what I'm saying?
That's very true. But he's still funny.
Do you find Jerry Seinfeld funny? Like, just making these mild observations?
Seinfeld, but the things he says, you actually think about it. Like,
you have, like,
yeah,
you have like
right.
Drake moments.
You're like, yeah, he's right. So, man, hey, man, one little secret of what we do is if it's true, if it's just downright true, You can take it and run with it.
Now, you can find some humor.
I can get on stage and say something that may not necessarily be funny, but it's so true.
That people have to laugh.
Yeah, you'll get it's a like, big response. Like, oh, I know somebody that does that. Or I know me, myself. I've done that before. And that's all it is. That's all comedy is. Like, we're mirrors, and we're just reflecting to the world what you already are.
But how do you take something that's so true, you know, and you're driving and something just hits you. Like, okay, yeah, this is like truism. Like, this happens every day, you know. Say someone cuts you off in traffic or something like that. And you think about it. How do you go through the process of saying, okay, I'm going to sit down. This is a truism, uh-huh. and I'm going to make this humorous. Like, how do you do that?
Man, me personally, I know a lot. This is something I need to work on. I don't write as much as I should.
Mm-hmm.
And I really just let... You know, I really just let the game come to me and whatever I come up with, you know, through the days. And, you know, I just keep that. And whatever I come up with, I'll just lock it in my mind. It's like the new age hip hop. You know, the guys don't write anymore. They listen to the beat over and over.
Oh,
and over,
yeah.
And then get in the booth and da-da-da-da-da. And after that, that's just it with no paper trail. And I've adopted that same type of form for my joke writing. And I've actually accumulated over an hour of material just by doing simple, just like the Jerry Seinfeld approach, simple observations. Like I said, it's nothing but telling the truth and reflecting to the people what they do every day and the things they say and different type of personalities, especially when personalities clash and things of that nature. So now with me, I really can't force, you know, you, well, no one really can force it.
Yeah.
You know, they say it has to be something organic and natural, because when you're on stage, you can't sound rehearsed and you can't sound like you're reading off a script. It has to be so natural to other people. It just seems like you're talking, like I'm speaking to y'all, or y'all speak to, you know, your best friend or your mother, something like that. So within that, my general observations is just, you know, I could just regurgitate it on stage. So it's nothing for me. Like one of my early jokes, I would just say, simple, just a simple shout-out joke. Hey, shout-out to all the women that's on Facebook and turns your bathroom mirror into a photo shoot. So when I say that on stage, everybody, oh.
Yeah.
And then I say, well, yeah, and then toothpaste stains on the mirror, and then I just keep going. But if you go on Facebook and you scroll through to whoever, go to any woman's page, you will see
a bathroom shot.
At least 10 to 20
yeah.
bathroom
three,
shots.
Four.
How many of these are taken? You know
exactly.
what I'm saying? A lot
then,
of those.
And then that's, see, you get, that's where the humor comes in. And you get into the different poses with the just weird angle. Like, who fuck? Like, you just really keep your camera all the way up there to the ceiling. Just, or you a big ass eye or your lips or some shit. So,
duck face.
That's yeah, my exactly.
Favorite. My
exactly.
favorite is the duck face.
So, man, if you go on stage and say what you just said, it would get a laugh.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And then outside of that, outside of my general observations, I can get material just from general conversation from anyone. Like, if the show is over and we just end up talking. Show's over, we wrap up. So, yeah, Ken, blah, blah, blah. And my man right here, the porn star, computer hacker, he might say something. He might just, we just might be talking just organic. He's telling me a story or whatever. And he'll say something that'll trigger my ears that I know I can use and regurgitate on stage. He might have necessarily been trying to be funny when he said it.
Yeah.
But he was so sincere, and I could simply, I don't have to add anything. I don't have to add any scenario or any type of punchline. I could simply repeat what he said or the story he told me, and it would get a big laugh. Just simply like, man, I was at the radio station, and we did the interview, and the shit was over, and this Asian porn black guy came to me after the show and said, whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
and you literally just tell it. Sometimes, like, you know, do you are you a guy, like, you know, Kevin Hart kind of laughs at his own stuff. You know what I'm saying?
I like when comedians.
Sometimes I like it.
They laugh, like they tell a joke and then they literally laugh, like they genuinely laugh. That makes me laugh harder.
Well, to me, like when like guys like Daniel Tosh go up there and they say these awful like jokes and mm-hmm. like, I mean, awful, like, you know, in the content, and they say these awful jokes and they play it off completely serious. To me, that's funnier. You know, like,
oh, someone, like kind of like dry.
Yeah, very dry, very dry. You know
there used
what I'm
to
saying?
Be a comedian. He used to do that. He used to write them. He used to come out with a paper, and he would do a joke, and if nobody would laugh, he would like mark it off the paper.
Yeah, a lot of people stole that too. A lot of people started doing that. It's to the point now. I don't know who the original person was that did it.
I want to say the first time I ever saw it was on Comic View. It was a guy on Comic View that used to do it, and he would sit there and he would go through jokes, and if his joke would go by good, you could tell he made a check mark. If nobody would laugh, he would be like,
Well, fuck that.
Next one.
Yeah, which is funny. It's very creative, but I don't know the origin at this point.
Yeah.
But I say everything in moderation, because a lot of times I might improv a joke, or I might come in on something I see right then and now. Now, I know my material. I know what I'm going to say before I say it. I've said it hundreds of times.
Yeah.
So I can't falsely put on a smile or laugh or whatever. And then, to me, that's the way I was taught. Like, you say something and you know it's insanely funny, but at the same time you're on stage with just a serious face. So that everybody's like, nigga, did you hear what you just said? And I'm like, yeah, I know. But let's say if I'm improv and just off the top of my head, then I'll say something. Then I'll actually, because this way it works. When you're on stage, you have no, you really can't have a filter. You have to just be open to the game or whatever comes to you. So if you're giving your material and let's say somebody trips or falls, or somebody has a ridiculous outfit on, or somebody yells out something and you spit something back at them, you don't actually know what you're saying until you've said it. So then I'll hear what I say and be like, wow, damn, that is funny. And then that's the only time I genuinely laugh at myself on stage.
But can that ever, no, I know it can, but has it ever to you when you like kind of do like an improv joke, do you ever go too far? Do you ever have like a Michael Richards situation? You know what I'm saying? Except reverse. I don't know. I don't know how that would work.
Not opposite. Or something that would be just as bad.
Just as bad, yeah. Like, I don't know.
I'll say it. You can definitely go too far. You can go too far, but...
Have you ever gone too far?
Me personally, I can't say that I have, because there's not a lot of things that
you
I...
You feel like... Are you like an offensive comedian to
nah,
work?
No, not at all. Now, when I'm hosting... If I'm hosting an event... Even me personally, I don't even know what I'm going to say before I get up, because there's no material. I'm just going with the flow. But if I'm doing,
let me tell you about this shit he hosted as Aztecas. It was ratchet, and he influenced all of that. Had them old women up there. I got a video on my phone. Still.
Old women?
Old baby women.
You got a video of me on your phone?
No, it's not of you, but it's of that one chick that used to wear.
She likes videos of women. You know what I'm saying?
I do like videos of women. I do. But it's of that one chick that used to always be.
Oh, that one chick?
Remember the one who you was like, who can come up here and demonstrate going around without getting off? It was of her.
Going around? I did what?
It was.
She doesn't make sense.
No, we were at Aztecas and it's a little stage. Shut up. And he was like, what woman will come up here and demonstrate how to turn around on the dick without like moving? So this woman, this grown-ass woman,
got up there and
did
it.
Like, she got up there and she demonstrated it on some dude at the front of the bar, like at the front of the place. And he stood up there and just instigated it, let it happen again.
But that's what...
They wilded out.
That was the nature of Aztecas. It was free fall, whatever. And
this Aztecas on Richmond and Greenbrier?
Every Monday, we would have a...
Ratchet.
Karaoke... happy hour, and I would be there from I would be on the mic for, let's say, from 9:30 to midnight, and then after that they might go upstairs and they'd be out of my hands, or it might just end the night right there. So like I say, I can't be in front. It's a bunch of young, a lot of times it was a bunch of college students, drunk, ready to have a good time. I can't be up there trying to do stand up comedy, so I would just whatever I saw in the crowd or whatever response I saw somebody do to a certain song, I would mimic or whatever. I just had to entertain from the top of my head for that amount of time for those hours. So, and like she said, it was just whatever my perverted little mind would think of. Like I would just say, just like she said, I would say, hey, and I would literally cut the music off. And I'd say, hey, cut the music. He'll cut off. I need a chick up here right now. Before I said that, I would say, hey, what chick in here right now can be riding a dick and turn around? Now, what did I say? Oh, no.
Spin around. It was a song. Like, the song had came on, and he was like, oh, cut the song. Now, who can do that?
Yeah, some shit like if you nigga was hitting from the back, or can you stop and then sit down and flip around and turn around and face the nigga at the same time. And the chick came on stage.
And demonstrated.
Yes.
Was it a turn on? Was it kind of tight?
That's the whole point. Like, it makes everybody say, what the fuck is happening?
Me and my homegirl,
you
would
just see a bunch of erections all around the stage.
Right? It's like Stonehenge of cocks in that moment.
Exactly. So, and that's how I feel I got my sense of improv now, to where I can just almost, I can improv a good 5 to 10 minutes before I get into my stand-up, you know. It's a good tool to have. You know, you shouldn't just rely on it.
Yeah.
You know, you always want your material is your foundation. That's your groundwork. So you always want to have that. But it's good just to go off the cuff every now and then and then get back to your material.
See, I think improv is like a necessary tool, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Just in like any form of entertainment. Like, you know, if you're a musician, if you're here on the radio, if you're a comedian, I feel like you have to be good off the cuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? I feel like so much stuff happens in real life. You know what I mean?
Even that, or it just sounds too rehearsed. Like, I don't like a comedian that sounds too rehearsed. Like this was supposed to be funny. Mm-hmm. Stuff that is supposed to be funny typically isn't funny.
I wish you were here 3 weeks ago, Kim.
What happened?
Fuck
3 weeks?
You, Brad.
What happened 3 weeks ago? I got another.
She was in one of these chairs, right?
And fell and bust her ass.
Oh my God! She tried to reach over here to hand our engineer, our producer, a lollipop. Right? She went. Wah!
Like,
right,
no,
bust that big ass.
Like, no, the chair, like, I was leaning forward, and, like, me leaning forward was pushing the chair back, and it was like the chair just went back, and it was bad, because, like, I think we had just came on air, like, the whole, like, you can hear the whole thing, and Brad is...
Instead of me
Brad
going over to help her,
the shit, like,
I'm doing play-by-play.
Like, real life over here, like, Peaches has, she's fell, trying to handle lollipop. Oh my God, Preachers, are you okay? Dog, no, she really fell. Like, that's. Because I listened to it the other day and I was like, Brad really sat there.
How long did it take you to get up?
I sat there and laughed for like 5 minutes. Like, I just sat there. I laughed. Like, I couldn't even. It was funny. That's what I get for stealing lollipops from Chase.
That's hilarious.
She stole a whole bowl of lollipops from Chase.
Like
she dumped it all in her bag.
From Chase, the bank?
The bank.
The complimentary candy?
Yeah.
Candy thief.
Took the whole, like, the whole bowl. I was at the front talking to the guy. He was saying something. I was like, mm-hmm. He's like, are you really going to steal all of them? I said, y'all got some more in the bank.
And walked out.
I ain't even going there for nothing.
Like, she made a deposit and a withdrawal, you know what I'm
talking about? You know, I don't even know why I went in the bank that day. because I didn't have no
money. Because you knew they had candy. That's
probably
why
was. I was.
She was like, I'm on the way to the station.
I think I was wasting time to come here, and I didn't want to
go. You're like,
back
let
home.
Me go to the bank? What kind of...
I think I know somebody that worked...
I said, let me go to CVS and find about some purpose junk I can go through. I know somebody that worked at the
bank, though. And then they had candy.
Who do you know who works at the bank?
It's a guy. His name was Travis.
That's why she went to the bank.
I think I owe that bank money.
Did you have them titties out like you got today when you went to the bank?
She was showing Travis them tattis.
Them tattis.
You do got a lot of titty meat.
I have breasts. I'm grown.
She ain't got on no bra. She got on a hammock right now that's tied
a
up.
Hammock? I have a bra. I have to contain these things.
Got some huge boobs.
I had a reduction, Ken.
I need to get a penis reduction.
I feel you, dog.
Yeah,
I'm having a problem. Bye, fist bump.
Let me tell you how they done bonded
over
here.
Yo, let me tell
you
a story.
They real life bonded.
Check this out. I want to ask you, as a man, have you ever measured yourself? Like
of
straight
course.
Up.
Who hasn't?
What'd you use?
I used a ruler.
You used a ruler?
I used both. I used a ruler and measuring tape.
You used tape measure. Check this out. All right, this is a true story. I'm not even making this up. So every Monday night, I go over to Candylicious, right?
And what is that?
It's a candy store. And I buy these sour peach belts, and I buy a bag of Jawbreakers, right?
Uh-huh.
One night, I was watching I Think I Love My Wife.
You still do that to this day?
Yeah, to this day. Yeah, okay. I was there last night.
It's the saddest life I've ever
had.
I went with him one time, and I made him get out of the dispenser. I made him give me one M&M out of the dispenser.
You know those big towers of M&Ms, and you pull them out, you put the whole bag in? I was able to get one out, because she asked the guy. She was like, can I have one M&M? She's like, if you can get it out.
I would have cussed your ass. Get your ass out of my stove.
He was white. He was afraid.
I can't lose with him with Brad. Like, nobody tells us anything. We go everywhere and we get. I took him to the Cha Cha's off 610.
Oh my God, I was afraid for my life. All right. We were having dinner. I was eating nachos, right? And she was talking to me, and I just started like gazing around. And I was like, Peaches.
The moment we walked in,
every black guy
in that building turned around and was like,
just staring at me awful. What? And I could just feel all these eyes on me, you know what I'm saying? Just like,
did you walk in? Was your hair the same way with the boot?
It's always like that.
Man, that's like the coolest. Man, I wish I had hair like that. I'd get out the pool and
just do like that.
Man, I wish I could do that, man. That's like the perfect shit to me.
So, anyway, I buy these sour belts and Jawbreakers, right? And I'm at home and I'm watching a movie, a film. It's I Think I Love My Wife, right? With Kerry Washington, whom I'm oh man.
She's good with Chris Rock, huh?
Yeah, with
Kerry
Chris
Washington,
Rock.
She's one of my ones. I like her. I like Zoe Saldana.
That's my. She fine.
Man, Olivia Pope. Kerry Washington. That's my background.
I grew up on Halle Berry though. So all them brown skinned women with that nice caramel complexion. Yeah. Drives me nuts.
See, Kerry Washington's a little darker, but she's just so sexy when she speaks, you know?
Yeah.
I saw her in Fantastic Four, and I was like, that's a fine blind bitch, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, she was in Fantastic Four.
She was just feeling the thing on his face, like, oh,
yeah. Look at Asian guy, like, motherfucker, don't touch me.
I will
kung fu fuck your ass.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
I forgot what your voice sounded like.
I wasn't expecting that.
I'm too busy trying to hear what I'm playing.
You know,
Big Papa.
Type,
Big Papa, motherfucker. Anyway, so I'm watching this scene, and then there's a scene where Kerry Washington is like stripped down, you know what I'm saying, and Kid
Chris
Rock.
Rock is pulling up.
Chris
panties.
Rock,
ain't that the sexiest?
And you're like, oh my God. So, you know, I just happened to get a boner, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, I had the urge to merge at that time. And so I was at my full potential, you know. I was standing at attention, you know, general. And I looked at the bag of Jawbreakers, right? And on the label it says Jawbreaker 1 inch, right, in diameter. So I had this genius idea at that point. How many Jawbreakers, you know, will fit my, you know, penis, right? So I'm just saying this. They're 9 to a bag, right? And I used all but one. All right, you know what I'm saying?
So
I have 8 inches of jawbreaking fun for any female who wants it.
You know that's,
I'm putting that out there,
man. That's
now you know.
That's really real. That's reassuring to me, man, because I'm white too. As a matter of fact, I was saying the same thing at this. Matter of fact, I was at a show in Kingwood, of all places, and I got thrown on the show last minute, and I was saying that very same thing. I was like, you know, my set was over. I was really done. At this time, I was just fucking around and just talking because the host was somewhere, like in a restroom or something. And I was just like, it was like me and maybe two other black people there, and everybody else was white. Of course, it was Kingwood.
Yeah, that's all.
And I was like, man.
That's Caucasian country.
I said, what do y'all think about, how y'all feel about interracial dating, man? Everybody was like, I don't know. I was like, well, what makes me all, you ever slept with a black person? Anybody, white women ever slept with a black guy? And all white women were just extra quiet. And then so I was like, well, you know, there's a lot of stereotypes going around, you know, that, you know, I can't speak for everybody. I said, well, yeah, I'm a black man. I know my shit is big, but I can't speak for every black man. I don't know if every black man shit is huge, and I can't speak for every white man because I've seen plenty of pornos with motherfucker came on that with a Godzilla tail.
Right.
And may put me to shame.
Godzilla
so,
tail.
So that's a good story, and I'm glad you shared that with us, your penile size. Sir.
You know what I'm saying?
It really shatters all type of barriers and
you know what I'm saying. You know, I'm.
Why are you fishing?
He's a nice guest, Peaches.
He's
all right,
like fixing the runner on the table.
He's not a pile of shit like most of the rappers that we interview.
No, I'm just trying to get out of interviewing rappers. Apparently,
I'm just trying to be neat.
I don't even like rappers, to be honest with you. I don't even know why we started with that.
And they were convenient.
Music controls the world,
but they're awful people.
It may be true, man, but
I can't stand them.
You ever see how people,
especially Dante Higgins?
Yeah, he's a jerk. I just use him for his fan base. But, man.
Apparently, he used every inch of his neck that he had left.
He has a thick ass neck, too.
This motherfucker's like this.
And a big ass gap.
You know what I'm saying?
I told him a long time ago, I said, man, if you was attractive, you would have been mated, man, because you were very talented.
But you're dark with no neck and a gap tooth.
He played football in college. So I think
you can tell.
That's why he got that muscle neck. He's got. A lot of people.
He's like a Rock'em Sock'em bupper whose neck just never popped up. You know what I'm saying? It's just like one of these. You have to keep pressing it down, and then it gets jammed finally.
I told him broke it. I told him up one time he was built like a Pez dispenser. That's my guy, though. I can say that.
He is, man.
But if you pay attention, you see how people react and how they act at a concert, whether it be rap, rock and roll, hip-hop, jazz, whatever. Man, that music is some powerful shit, man. Like, comedians wish we can get that type of response out of people. That's why you see a lot of comedians incorporate music in their set. Because a lot of times when you just hear the first few chords or first few seconds of a song, people, So it is.
No, yeah, we're in a band and we played this big girl fashion show, right? And a plus size fashion show. Mm-hmm. And there was a comedian who went on before us, right? And he was like
this was here in town?
Yeah, this was in town.
You remember the fella's name?
Do you remember his
black
name?
Black guy, white guy?
He was black.
Can you describe him?
He was
skinny guy, fat guy.
Skinny, dark. He looks African, but he says he's not.
Mickey Housley. He's hilarious.
He was funny.
He did the strip song.
That's my guy. We started together. That's like my brother in the
game. Yeah. He's hilarious. He did the Chris Brown strip, mm-hmm. but he like remixed it to I Just Want to Feed You strip.
Yeah, stop. I forgot to
preheat the oven. Yeah.
Everybody remembers that line.
Man, Mickey is hilarious.
Yeah, he was funny.
That's my guy.
What's his name again? Mickey what?
Mickey Housley.
Mickey Housley.
I strongly suggest you get him on the show.
He was funny.
He's a hilarious guy. And forgive me for eating and chewing on the
microphone. Ratchet is shit with the Twizzlers.
Well, you know, this is the last one I had to go for. They're gone.
They're gone.
Rest in peace to a moment of silence for the Twizzlers.
No, we can't do dead air. We're on radio.
Okay.
We can't do that. That's like the cardinal sin. You know what I'm saying? What's the one thing you can't do in comedy? What's the, like I said, radio, dead air, that's like... Might as well shoot your dick off.
No.
Yeah.
You can't. I've seen this happen before, and it blew my mind because at that time I was relatively new in the game, and I kind of looked up to this person. I looked up to his name and the reputation he built, but I never actually seen him. So it was a guy. I can't remember if I was on the show or not, but he was. Yeah. Matter of fact, it was my room. I used to do a room at Stilettos on the north side. And like I say, just from the advice, you know, you start your own room, that's how you get weekly practice. And I invited this particular comic in, who in my mind was an OG in the game. And so everybody does well. It's time for him to come up. I just know for a fact he's going to bring it home. And he started messing with somebody in the crowd. And she was getting on. It was a woman. She got on this dude's ass to the point, like, not physically, but like the way she was speaking, like, now. Bitch, you ain't finna talk to me now. Fuck you. And like, just really.
Damn.
She was like, man, matter of fact, you done. Put the mic down. Get the fuck off the stage. You done. And you know what he did?
He put the mic down
and he got off the stage.
You can't be chumped as a comedian.
Man, and I was just.
From the crowd. Stupid.
I was in awe, like, that's not supposed to happen. You're not supposed to let a civilian. We call them
civilians.
We call them civilians. And like, to us, we're the soldiers. We're the comedians. Yeah. You never let a civilian run you off the stage. When you're. You'll hear this a lot in stand-up. All you ever have is your time on stage.
Yeah.
No matter who's coming behind you, who's coming, who's going ahead of you, what the crowd is, black, white, whatever. That's all you got, no matter how much money you got, what type of reputation you got. All you have as a comic is your time on stage. And to let somebody in the crowd,
A civilian
actually say, you done, get off the stage, and you do it, no.
Damn.
That's the biggest no.
I'll let a civilian.
You stand your ground. It's like, it's just like, you know, run away from a fight or run away from
Charlemagne the game.
Exactly.
I would have ran. Screw that.
Yeah, me
I'm
too.
Not having three surly looking gentlemen.
He says surly.
You know what I'm saying? Anybody who has if a guy on the street comes at you and he's like in a creased suit, you know, and there's three of them, I'm running. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not gonna. That's
I don't blame
that does
him.
Not
I
sound
ran
smart.
Too. Like, who gonna get jumped for what?
Not as well. Speaking of getting jumped, that's kind of like the you know how you asked me. Well, this all kind of all ties in together because we all know the name, the title that she was a heckler.
Yeah.
And a lot of times someone might ask me, you know, how do you deal with it? How you deal with a heckler? Have you ever been heckled? And since we're talking about getting jumped, I just feel...
You've been jumped by a heckler.
Well, now, the funny thing is, that's the mentality you have to have when you...
Heckle back?
When someone in the crowd is really trying to fuck with you or they're trying to heckle you. It's like getting jumped. If you ever been jumped before, I don't know if any of y'all ever been,
I haven't.
Been jumped. There's one rule... For when you realize, when you make up in your mind, like, these motherfuckers gonna try to jump me, it's only one thing in your mind that should come next. Well, maybe two, because, like you said, Charlamagne will run. But if you see that these guys might be faster than me, they can catch me. Now, I don't want to get my ass whipped and be tied, be winded,
yeah,
when they catch me. So if running is an option for you, it's only one thing to do. You pick out the weakest guy, or you just pick one. Me personally,
to make an example,
you pick
of.
Out the strongest guy. You pick out the strongest guy, and you really hit this motherfucker with everything you
have
got. So the rest of the dudes be like, I don't know if we should be fucking with this guy. So on stage, if I got a heckler, somebody really fucking with me, it's the same mentality. Now, if somebody is speaking out of turn or turn, whatever they. Word is
whatever.
Is it turn or term? Speaking out of turn.
Out of
turn.
T-U-R-N.
Oh, excuse me. It's turn.
It's turn.
If someone's heckling you, you gotta realize it's hundreds of other people there.
Yeah.
So if you're dismissive with this one person, everybody else is gonna get the mentality like, okay, it must be cool. He's not saying nothing to them. So then, instead of dealing with one person, you're dealing with a whole room of people that's fucking with you. So you gotta nip that guy in the bud when he's coming and saying and heckling. You gotta hit this dude so hard, just like that. That first guy,
you gotta just
jumped,
knock him
to
down.
Everybody else is like, man, we ain't finna fuck.
We're not
him.
Gonna heckle him.
So that's
well. Then,
that's
then I will say that Kramer made an hell of an example.
So, but that you know that was a special case. You know,
yeah.
He just really
that was not good.
He could have handled it better.
How do you find the line between you know shutting them up without being disrespectful and losing the crowd like that?
You make it like I said, I'm a light-hearted guy, so. That's my whole mentality. I keep it light. You know, I just, like I said, everybody's personality is the same. A lot of guys get real offended if you speak, you know, while they're on stage. Because, like I said, everybody, every comic knows this is all I got, man.
This is all I got.
It's my 10, 15, 20, 25 minutes, 60 minutes, or whatever it may be. And you're stealing from me.
Yeah.
You're essentially stealing my time. This is all I have in my life. Yeah, I got kids.
Do other comedians sit in the crowd and heckle other comedians?
Is
that kind of like the unwritten rule, like, nah, this is this man's time, like you said?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that. I mean, I can't. The only time that might happen if it's like a open mic when you really just trying that new shit and you don't know which way you want to go with it, you might throw out a suggestion. Now, me, this, the only thing I've done, I've had comedians repeat their jokes, like, and not in a larger venue like the Improv. If it's a low frequency venue, then it's so funny to me, and I was like, what you say? Say it again. And they'll actually repeat it, and it actually gets a bigger laugh from the first time they said it. But just downright totally heckling where you want them to throw them off their rocker. Now, we don't do that to each other.
Okay, well, we're going to take a short music break, but when we come back, we're going to ask Ken if he's ever been bumped off of a comedy show. I know that happens quite often.
Oh,
and how you feel about that.
Okay.
What's your best experience on stage?
Okay.
Who you think the worst comedian is and you've ever heard.
Okay.
Peaches is going to make you build your perfect woman.
Oh, wow.
And we're going to talk about your personal life a little bit. Once again, this is the Brad Gilmore Show. DJ Mota is going to take us to a quick break. But we're brought to you today by the fine people at Local Life Houston and also Incline Magazine. Take the next step in your business and advertise with Incline Magazine. Exposure is here.
Let me do it next time. Next time we go to commercial, I want to read this shit.
All right, inclinemagazine.com. Big shout out to Andrea Williams for that. So hit her up at a feature, takeoffandincline@gmail.com. This is the Brad Gilmore Show, localifehouston.com. We're going to be right back with Ken to the Fool, or Ken Boyd for you white listeners.
Cool. City of Compton, square takes place, so a national attention. Mobbing like a motherfucker, but I ain't lynching. Dropping the funky shit that's making a sucker niggas mumble. When I'm on the mic, it's like a cookie, they all crumble. Try to get close and your ass will get smacked. My motherfucking homie, doggy dog, has got my back. Never let me slip, cause if I slip, then I'm slipping. But if I got my Nina, then you know I'm straight tripping. And I'ma continue to put the rap down, put the Mac down. And if your bitches talk shit, I have to put the smack down. Yeah, and you don't stop. I told you I'm just like a clock when I tick and I talk. But I'm never off, always on till the break of dawn. See you when PTO win in the city they call Long Beach. Putting the shit together like my nigga DOC. No one can do it better like this, that, and this, and it's like that, and like this, and like that, and it's like this. Then who gives a fuck about those? So just chill till the next episode. If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. I got the rap patrol on the cat patrol. Foes that want to make sure my cask is closed. Rap critics to save money, cash holes. I'm from the hood, stupid, what type of facts are those? If you grew up with hoes and you're zapped with toes, you celebrate the minute you was having dough. I'm like, fuck critics, you can kiss my whole asshole. If you don't like my lyrics, you can press fast forward. Got beef with radio, if I don't play they show, they don't play my hits. Well, I don't give a shit, so Rap Max try and use my black ass so advertisers could give them more cash for ads, fuckers. I don't know what you take me as or understand the intelligence that Jay-Z has. I'm from rags to riches, niggas, I ain't dumb. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me! 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me! Yeah, it's 94 and my trunk is raw. And my rear view mirror is the motherfucking law. Got two choices, y'all. Pull over the car or bounce on the devil, put the pedal to the floor. And I ain't trying to see no highway chase with Jake. Plus, I got a few dollars, I can fight the case. So I pull over to the side of the road, I heard. Son, do you know I'm stopping you for? Cause I'm young and I'm black and my hat's real low. Do I look like a mind reader, sir? I don't know. Am I under arrest or should I guess some more? Well, you was doing 55 in the 54. Lost the registration and step out of the car. You carrying a weapon on you, I know a lot of you are. I ain't stepping out of shit, all my papers legit. Well, do you mind if I look around the car a little bit? Well, my glove compartment is locked, so it's the trunk in the back. And I know my rights, so you gon' need a warrant for that. Aren't you sharp to attack? You some type of law or something, somebody important or something. I ain't passed the bar, but I know a little bit enough that you wanna legally search my shit. Well, we'll see how smart you are when the K-9 comes. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me! 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me! 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. If you having girl problems, I forgot for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me. Once upon a time, not too long ago, a nigga like myself had a strong arm, a hoe. And this is not a hoe in the sense of having a pussy, but a pussy having no goddamn sense, trying to push me. I try to ignore him, talk to the Lord, pray for him, but some fools just love to perform. You know the type, loud as a motorbike, but wouldn't bust a grape in a fruit fight. And only thing that's gonna happen is I'ma get the clapping, and he and his boys gonna be yapping to the captain. And there I go trapped in the Kit Kat again. Back through the system with the riffraff again. Fiends on the floor, scratching again. Paparazzis with their cameras, snapping them. DA try to give a nigga shaft again. Half a meal for bail cause I'm African. Or because the fool was harassing them. Trying to play the boy like he's saccharine. But ain't none sweet, but I hold my gun. I got 99 problems, being a bitch ain't one. Hit me! 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. If you having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Hit me!
99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. Sicker than your average, pop a twist cabbage on instinct. Niggas don't think shit, stink pink gators. My Detroit players, Tim's for my hooligans in Brooklyn. Dead right, if the head right, Biggie there, air night. Papa been smooth since days of under rules. Never lose, never choose to. Bruise, cruise, who? Do something to us, talk, go through us. Girls want to us, wanna do us, screw us, who us? Yeah, Papa and Pop. Close like Starsky and Hutch, stick to clutch. Yeah, I squeeze three at your cherry M. Bang every MC easily. Recently, niggas frontin' ain't saying nothing, so I just speak my peace. Keep my peace. Cubans with the Jesus piece. With my peace. Packing, asking who want it. They got it, nigga flaunt it. That Brooklyn bullshit, we on it.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways.
I put O's in NY onto DKNY. Miami, DC, prefer Versace.
That's right.
All Philly hoes know it's Moschino. Every cutie with the booty for the coochie. Now who's the real dookie? Meaning who's really the shit? Them niggas ride dicks. Frank White push six on the Lexus. LX, 4.5. Bulletproof glass tits if I want some ass. Gon' blast sweet sauce. Ask questions last. That's how most of these so-called gangsters pass. A nigga rapping about blunts and broads, tits and bras, menage a trois, sex and expensive cars, and still leave you on the pavement. Condo paid for, no car payment, at my arraignment, no for the cleaning. Your daughter's tied up in the Brooklyn basement, face it, not guilty, that's how I stay still. Richer than richer, so you niggas come and get
me. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broken, you're so mean.
I can fill you with real millionaire shit. That's cargo, my cargo, 160, swiftly. Wreck it by your new one. Your crew run, 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 your crew run, run. I know you sick of this name brand. Nigga with flows, girl, stay heat. Sweet like licorice. So get with this, nigga, it's easy. Girlfriend, here's a pen. Call me round 10, come through, have sex on rubs, that's Persian.
That's right.
Come up to your job, hit you while you're working, for certain. Papa freaking, not speaking, leave that ass leaking like rapper demo. Tell them who, take their clothes off slowly. Kill them with the force like Kobe, dick black like Kobe. What's been wrong like Kobe? Lucky they don't owe me, where to say, show me, homie.
Homie.
Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess it's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess it's why they're broken, you're so mean. Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess it's why they're broken, you're so mean.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Easy, the Southeast Beast, and make sure you tune in to the Brad Gilmore Show.
What'd you say?
Is that from that one thing you showed me
that one time? What time was that? That one time at band camp? From that's not new, right?
That's not new, no.
Yeah, okay.
Came from a while back. One time Doe was at my house and he was just having a ball, you know what I'm saying? Before the video was shot there, you know what I'm saying? And he was just going wild. And I was like, yo.
He shot a video at your house?
Yeah, he did.
Which one was it?
Wake and Bake.
Is that a fact?
Have you ever seen that video?
I don't think I have. The only one I've seen was...
I'm in it. You'll see like a really good-looking white guy wearing a red bandana around his head.
Well, if he had that same hat-do, I'm pretty sure you were very...
Yeah, I'm very... I stuck out. I stuck out.
Who were you? You were still in with some slacks and a white t-shirt and that?
No, I was in a button-down and a tie and slacks and shoes.
You're a sexy guy.
I appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? I find you kind of attractive, too. You know?
No,
you're like the right darkness. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not like Dante Higgins dark, but then again, like, you're not like less white. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're good.
I'm what they call caramel.
Yeah, caramel. I'm white. We call it caramel. You know what I'm saying? I'm from the country, kind of. Well, I said y'all. Oh, let me tell you the weirdest experience I had in my life over this past weekend. All right, I dabble in ring announcing. I'm a ring announcer for Booker T, right, the professional wrestler. Mm-hmm. So he told me, he was like, hey, we're gonna shoot a. Do you know who Booker T is?
Yeah,
the Kenny Diggett sucker.
Sucker.
Yeah. Okay, so you know what he looks like. Okay, yeah.
He's from here, right?
Yeah, he's from Houston. So anyway, he calls me into his RV, right, his trailer, right, and he was like, hey, I need you to shoot a commercial for the show, all right, because they're doing some kind of show with me or something like that. So I'm sitting there holding a wine glass that's made of plastic, you know, I can remove the bottom from, and it has cranberry juice in it instead of wine, right? And there's this woman sitting next to me, and she's supposed to be like all into me while I'm cutting this promo, right? I'm supposed to be like, hello, my name's Brad. You know, I'm supposed to be like this weird kind of romantic whatever.
Okay.
And she was like not doing it right. She, imagine a woman not being into me. You know what I'm saying? I didn't understand it.
Was she retarded?
Or a lesbian, one of the two. I hadn't deduced which one it was. So anyway, so she wasn't into me that much. So then Booker, he's like, let me show you how to do it, sucker. You know what I'm saying?
He said it like that.
That's how he sounds in my head.
He said that to you, Brad?
Yeah.
He said
he said it to the woman. To the woman. Okay. Let me he said to the woman.
How did he say it again?
Let me show you how to do it, sucker.
But what did he really say?
Sucker! That's what he really said.
Let
no.
Let me show you how to do it, sucker.
No, so yeah. So that's just how it translates, you know. And then he like did like this.
Uh-huh.
And he hit the spinneroonie on me. You uh-huh. know what I'm saying? All in like this little clean find.
Slim.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, he's sitting next to me doing this whole, pretending he's a woman, right? And he's like this on me.
Does he still have the dreadlocks?
Oh, they're down to like mid rib. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, what was he doing?
And he was just like stroking like my this.
I got
so
it,
bad.
But I need you to demonstrate first.
Okay,
I don't
like
care
this.
If people can't see it.
You're me, Tyler. And it was just like showing her how to do it, right? And like, there's a guy filming it, and I told the dude afterward, I was like, you have to give me that tape. Like, I need that. That'd be so funny
Did
to put
you
on
get
YouTube.
It?
No, I didn't get it. Booker made sure it was destroyed up.
That would have been hilarious.
Oh, but it was the weirdest experience of my life. I have like this 6'5", 257 pound, whatever man with dreadlocks down to his knees.
Stroking you ever so gently.
Yeah.
I tell you what, man, if your eyes were blue, man, I think I'd be all over you myself.
Wow, guy. You like blue eyes?
Man, you know what's funny? I don't really.
If you were mixed,
hey,
let me
clear this up for everybody that's listening. I'm totally straight. This is all jokes. This is all jokes I'm making, by the way. But now, nah, man, when it comes,
wait, what?
What is that? But now, nah, man, no preference because I've dated my fair share of white women. When I say dated, I mean fuck the shit out of them. But nah, man, no preference, man. You know, even when it comes to, you know,
so no people, preference.
No preference, man. If you're appealing to my eye, hey, man, it can happen, man.
Do you ever find like white women would reject you, or do they think, oh my god, are you like that black guy who's funny, and they're like, yeah, I'm dating Chris Rock.
Nah, man.
Even the way that you took your jacket off. Like,
yeah,
I know. I was trying to take it off, and then I stopped because I was going to think I was getting cold, but then I was getting kind of hot because my cheeks are red. You know what I'm saying?
I thought he was pop-locking.
I didn't know what he was doing. He over there kind of twerking.
You know what I'm saying?
And the Asian guy was like, you're not doing it right.
Only I can do that.
But yeah, man.
Brother.
Man, you know, interracial dating is a beautiful thing, man.
I'm not against it, obviously.
Anything that's not the norm, I'm a big fan. I find myself attracted to, whether it be, you know, the way you dress, or your own brand of music, or your own brand of stand up, or just anything that's not mundane and just everyday type situations. I'll find myself paying more attention to it. So, not to say that's just my preference. I'm just. My thing, I always said my whole life, I don't like black women, I don't like white women, I just like women. If you cool and you look good.
I like women too.
Well, high five to you.
Peaches loves women.
I love women.
Is that a fact?
But I'm straight also. But I love
she
women.
She claims. I'm trying to get her. You know how like all women are like half lesbian by default?
I believe that.
They are. I've told you that.
My sister asked me something that was crazy like yesterday. And my whole life, my sister has been like the ultimate Amazonian empowered, we are every woman, don't fuck with me, I am woman, hear me roar type woman I've ever known in my life. And this motherfucker came to me yesterday and said, have you ever had a threesome? And I said, yeah. She was like, well, what? How does it go? Like, do you
does the girl, do the girls, like, do stuff with each other, or are they both there just to service the man? I was like, why are you asking me? She's like, because I'm thinking about having one for my birthday. I was like, bitch, what? Bitch, is just crazy. Nigga, you? Nigga, you? But
you know, I feel like everybody should experience that.
We can't breeze by this. So you've had a threesome, all right?
Well, who hasn't?
I haven't. I've never had a threesome. Have you, Tyler?
No.
I hadn't.
What?
Peaches?
We'll take her silence as a
yeah. That's a.
We'll take a silence. But man, you know, technically, what I come to find out is
no. You got to tell me how it happened.
I'm not against it. I think everybody in this room has been in reach of a threesome, but didn't realize it.
Oh yeah, probably.
But it's just my. I don't want to use the word wisdom, but it's just my
cunning.
Nigga, you over casting over these hoes into thinking that's what they wanted to do. That's what you did.
Nah, absolutely. It was the opposite. I was.
They talked you into it?
They didn't have to. They didn't have to twist. Yeah,
I was about to say.
But this is how it worked for me. It was a group of young women that I met at.
I know what night that was.
You don't know what night it was. You don't know what night it was because this is before you even came. It was early in my Aztecas career, and like I said, that type of environment, it was just a free fall, whatever. And they used to show up together all the time, and they invited me. I got an invite from one. One of them really, you know, approached me as far as you know, being interested in me. And so I would, you know, converse with her back and forth. And I finally got an invite, and they were living together at the time.
Oh, this house was freaky.
You know, like one room, same bed, everything. But I was just conversing with one. I didn't know they was living together, so I ended up going over.
They was together.
They planned it.
Well, yeah, I know that now. But,
yeah.
But so I kind of end up going over there, and this is how they got me. It's like they was the man. They were the men, and I was the woman. And so, like, I went over there, and I was like, hey, what's up? What you doing? She was like, nah, we live together. I was like, okay, hey, you know. And me, I had I go in a situation with no expectation. Even if it's one-on-one, me and a woman, and she invited me over, she probably just like me enough to invite me over to the house. Don't mean she actually want to sleep with me. So I'll show up.
Yet.
No intentions, no expectation. Whatever happens is what happens. So I walked in with that same type of mind frame. And so they put a DVD on. And so, we sitting there watching. And they was like, you got these rough-ass jeans on, man. Matter of fact, it's not the same jeans. Like, I
thought it was all jeans at the cleaners. You know,
been in the cleaners for quite some time. But I was like, yeah, these jeans scratching me. You scratching me with these jeans. I was like, so y'all just want me in my drawers? And in unison, yes. And I was like, okay, well, I dropped.
That's when you know. That should have been the telltale sign. Yes, when they hit the unison, yes. That means this was a plan.
Man, I don't.
Brad, what would you have done?
Hell yes. I would have ripped my belt out faster than Pootie Tang could have.
And you know, it was crazy. It was like 6 in the morning. Because I was supposed to go over there earlier that night or that.
Two women invite me anywhere. I'm going that minute.
But I was.
You shouldn't have pussyfooted around, kid.
No. What was crazy, I was trying to use my GPS because they live extremely far from me. Or far in general. They was like way on the west side somewhere. And I couldn't use my GPS in my car is kind of dated.
Uh-huh.
So I can't pick up the newly developed or the recently developed areas. And my battery on my phone was dying. So I couldn't use that. So I had to do it the old school way. I had to literally drive down the street.
And look for
the address. And so I'm driving.
So you knew what street it was on. Yes.
Yeah. And then, you know, I drove like 20 minutes in the wrong direction before I realized it was a ascended address. And I was descending down the street, and I was like, I think I'm going the wrong way. And then I'm trying to keep all the life to keep texting, say, hey, I'm on my way. And I turn around, I finally, but the sun.
That's when you turn your brightness all the way down. You make sure you're not running any multiple applications.
You get your Wi-Fi off.
Yeah, Wi-Fi's off. I'm on airplane mode, all right?
My phone was exhausted. So I finally get there. The sun is peaking. It's 6 in the morning. They was like, man, well, you know, the one girl I was keeping contact with, nah, man, you waited too late, blah, 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 blah. I'm finna go to sleep. And, you know, like I said, no skin off my nose, because I had no expectation from jump. But I drove out his way, and I am finna kick it. I ain't just finna go turn around, and I'm finna eat something and watch some TV, some food, I meant. Oh, and
my bad.
So, like I say, fast forward back, you know, we landed, you know, request for my jeans to come off. And in my mind, I'm still trying to think, okay, maybe they sincere. Maybe they really don't like the feel of these jeans. And then so the one chick, came over there to see. You know, I'm kind of, you know, playing towards her and like, okay, yeah, so, you know, what's going on? And then the other girl kind of spoke on. She was like, well, you know, you came over here at 6 in the morning. I know you ain't just come over to watch me. Well, that shit is right there. Go on, do what you. I'm, you know, because I ain't used to, I mean, I'm used to people doing it in front of me. I ain't tripping. I'm finished watching my movie. And then so she just.
She put it out there.
And then so, and that's exactly what happened. Then
see, me, I would be.
And that, then okay. At a certain point, then the other young lady joined in. And that is.
I feel that. But see, me as a man, I feel like. Was there penetration in both of them?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
So, see, to me, I would feel a little like I wasn't, like, giving one of them enough attention. You know what I'm saying? And then what happens, like. I don't understand how it works.
That's why I'm dipping
and diving, right? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And I'm swinging and banging. You know, if literally. And what happens? Like, what if I come inside one of them and then or just like more cum gets on this girl than on that one? Do they get offended by it? Like, how does that work?
An even spread money.
Yeah.
You know what's funny?
I should just put like a partition in front of my dick before I go, so it just like just splits it right down the middle,
like the Red Sea.
I accept your resignation,
man. Before this even happened, my stepdad of all people gave me like advice on how to have a threesome.
Huh.
This was years before this even happened, and we were just sitting talking. This one of those.
Random talks.
Just out of nowhere talks. And
like a Victoria's Secret commercial came up, and then y'all, you know, y'all get, you know, the same boner at the same time. Then all the blood is rushed down there, so y'all have these. Well, that's how it happens with my family.
Well, I can guarantee.
What?
I can guarantee that's what didn't take place.
Okay.
No.
He's one of those universal guys that's lived quite a life, and every now and then he'll share one of his stories with me, whether it be on the streets or in prison and all that type of stuff. So some kind of way we got on this subject. He's like, man, I'm gonna tell you something, because it was just me and him at the time. I can't remember where everybody else was. We were just talking. He's like, boys, I'm gonna tell you something, man. If you ever find yourself with two women, man, don't try to give. Or you say, man, you really want to take your time and don't go all out just on one chick, man, especially if you got another chick to serve. So you give her a little bit, then you give her a little bit, then you go back to her, then you go back to her. And I'm sitting there like, why the fuck is you telling me this? But
it came in handy.
It came in handy.
So I feel like I wouldn't know if I was, like, I don't know. Because, you know, then you have two different girls who have two different kind of, you know, ways of of showing their pleasure, you know, mind you. One could be super loud and you think you're doing the business with her, but that she could just be sensitive.
Yeah.
You know, and then you go to the other one and she's a brick shit house and she's not doing anything at all. I would be thrown by it. I wouldn't know what to do.
And
body reaction.
I ain't going to say I just had.
Like when they pop one of those?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah. I ain't going to say I just had a gang of experiences like that. But if more than likely, the chances are, if a chick is in that situation, or
she's not a brickstone shit house,
is open to that experience. She said it. She's not a brickstone, brick house, whatever the words you used earlier.
I forgot.
She's pretty open and knows her body and knows how to.
Sure, she is.
You know, express herself, so to speak.
Now, since we're on the subject of women, let's talk about Ken's personal life.
Okay.
All right.
You booed up.
Absolutely not.
Oh, good.
Absolutely.
We get a slew of booed up people through here.
I think relationships are retarded.
The rappers yeah. Booed up.
Booed up.
And we're talking about 5-6 year relationships.
Oh, like, yeah? Booed up.
I think it's a different type of, you know, music, especially hip hop, has certain nuances. Like, you know, the one, it's like, yeah, you'll have your main, it's, you know, the terminology can come out of nowhere. Main chick.
Your
gals on the side. It's a chick, you know, I don't want to put this dude's name out, but it's a dude that is a hip-hop artist, and his lady is very much so tied into the production of his music and his whole career, his image, things of that nature, to the point where she has her name on social networks ties into his. Like, I'm Miss... this person, uh-huh. Or I'm Mrs. this person, or I'm married to this person, or whatever type of play they want to put on it. But at the same time, you know, it's the nature of the business to
that happens, and that comes down to the woman. Like, you know, you have to be secure enough to know that if he's with you, he's with you. So, I mean, you know, he'll claim you if you want to. Putting that shit on Twitter is just for show for them. Makes them feel better.
Well, yeah. This fool.
He's singing Drake. Mouthing it, rather.
I got caught up in the moment.
But nah, me personally, nah, man. I think comedians are a little different, you know.
I don't think anyone should be in a relationship.
Me either.
A friend, a really, really, really good friend of mine called me, I think, 2 days ago, right? And he was like, yeah, I'm in a relationship now. The girl I brought to your house, yeah, that's my girlfriend. I said, no. I think they're so terrible and awful.
It happens.
And can we all just stare at him and just shake our heads real quick? He's been in like a 7 year. How long? 2 years. Two awful, terrible years.
2 years. How old are you, brother?
19.
Damn, you old.
Right, he's centuries.
Well, you know, you do unintelligent stuff like that when you're 19. So,
it's unintelligent.
So you really can't hold that against this man now if he was.
You know what I'm saying?
But at the end of, you know, we talking all this shit. But at the end of the day, man, it's different strokes for different folks. Now, you know, the life I'm living, it's best for me not to have any type of girlfriend or be in any type of relationship, just because.
My motto is different strokes and multiple pokes. You know what I'm saying?
Man, where y'all find this motherfucker at?
He found me, man. I don't know.
Multiple pokes. Man. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, that's their bread. Okay, think about it like this. Let's say you grew up in a household where that was the norm. Like, if your mother and father have been together since you can remember, yeah. Then yeah, that's what you grew up around and that's what you're accustomed to, then yeah, you're gonna try to duplicate or mimic that same type of thing. So that could be one reason, but for me personally,
Don't you know, feel like it holds you back a little bit? Like you can't do everything you wanna do.
I would say it can if you let it, you know. It could go either way. It all depends on what type of guidelines you have in a relationship. Like, you know, the cliches that they have, they didn't come from nowhere. Like they say, communication is key and communication is everything. I truly believe that. Even outside of any type of romantic relationship, just any relationship in general. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are my manager,
uh-huh,
or any type of business relationship, communication is key. If I say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this deal, I know this is outside the contract that we have, but I just, as a personal favor to this, because this is a close friend of mine, I'm gonna do this for no charge. But if I just go and do it without speaking to you, then you have a problem with me. But yeah, if I come to you first, oh yeah, man, it's cool. And that's why communication is so key. Mm-hmm. So if it's that important just with business, how much more important is it within a romantic relationship with a girlfriend and a boyfriend or a husband and a wife and things of that nature? So It can be a hindrance, but like I say, I'm a big believer in communication is key, and if you really have an open mind, whether you're the man or the woman, then I think it can work. But me personally, I just don't have the time.
That's what I'm saying.
I would be the worst boyfriend ever because I don't have time. Because any type of real relationship requires so much of your undivided attention, and as a comedian, you have to be very selfish.
Yeah,
you have to be very selfish. Even I would say almost with anything that you're really aspiring to be great at, but I can only speak about what I know. That's why I say being a comedian, you have to be selfish. Because then you get accustomed to the lonely life, because when you're on stage, you're by yourself. You're on the road, by yourself. You're in the hotel room, by yourself. When you write, you're by yourself.
Unless you did a good show.
That's very true.
Yeah.
From experience. So, you know, you just get accustomed of being by yourself. So With that being said, it's so many intangible things that has to happen for you to attain the degree of success that you're trying to get.
Being in a relationship is time consuming. After you got time to wind
took
down.
Took the words right out of my mouth. It's very time consuming.
I agree. I think it takes up too much of your time. And you got
to spend the day talking to people.
It's like, I got to tell her everything I did today. We have to talk on the phone every night. I don't care what you did today. Like, I honestly could care less. You know what I'm saying? And like,
because probably ain't even do shit today.
She probably is like talking about some show that she sat home and watched that day. You know what I mean? I don't care. I don't care about it. I don't care about what happened in Desperate Housewives of Atlanta or whatever that show's called.
I'm more of a, when I'm with you, I'm with you. When I'm gone, I'm gone.
Whatever that meant. Yeah.
You know, because when you got time to spend, you got time to spend.
I actually
agree. And when I don't, I don't. Like,
yeah, I know.
When
okay,
I
yeah,
have,
yeah,
when
yeah,
I have,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
if I be like, okay, Sunday, I got all day Sunday. We going to do something on Sunday, or we ain't going to do shit, because I've told you that Sunday is all it is.
I don't like feeling compelled to have to talk to her every day, you know what I mean? There's women that I'm dating, you know what I'm saying? I'm not out there in a relationship. I'm just, you know, fornicating fine
Well,
females.
Me, I'm just sleeping around. I wouldn't even
that's what I'm saying.
I wouldn't call myself dating.
I'm just being a whore right now.
Just dicking around.
You know what I'm saying? And
To and throw.
I'm just reading books.
Off we go. But
put your hands in your pants. Why do you have your hands in your pants right now?
Because it was convenient. It was just right there.
Yeah, that's the same lie we tell ourselves every time we jerk off. We're just like, it was just right there.
It was just right there.
I was feeling it at that time. You know?
What I'm saying? I heard the funniest, I can't remember what comic said this. He was like, man, why do you think your arms are so long? Because right there, to reach your dick is convenient.
It is.
It's right there.
Yo, I'm going to tell you the scariest thing that just happened to me. It was like, I used to lay on the couch, right? And I would have like one leg, like, you know, like up like this, you know what I mean? Like when I'm laying out, you know, mm-hmm. So it's like up. And, you know, sometimes, you know, as a man, you just kind of reach down there for, like, no reason sometimes.
That's
you know what I'm
saying?
You just do. And most of the time when I'm on my couch, I'm in my, you know, my boxers. You know, Peaches, I want you to visualize this. You know what I'm saying?
I know I am.
He is. Yeah. I'm getting Ken sweaty and ready. You know yes. what I'm saying? But anyway, so I reached down one time, and I only felt one testicle.
It happens.
And I got super scared.
But
then,
where did it
hold
go?
Hold up. I'm going to tell you where it went. Peaches, let me finish my story. So I'm reaching. I only feel the one. And then, you know, when you get that scared feeling? Like you feel like all in here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I get that. And I'm like, oh. And I'm only just feeling like scrotum. I'm not feeling any other like testicle right there.
Got that empty sack.
That empty sack. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't know what was happening. And then I had this whole thought like, okay, if I lost my left testicle and I just had my right testicle, would it still be my right testicle? This was all going in my head. You know, I didn't know what it would be called. And so finally, well, what happens, Peaches, is it sometimes since there are two, one will sink down between your thighs, all right? And this is what I learned on this day. And then when I finally reached down to the full cuppage, mm-hmm. I found the missing testicle.
Yeah, my nuts has been missing on many a night. Many a night. It's like I know a lot of times it could drop down low, it could go up high. And
yeah.
It has to descend out. Your nuts can go up in your body. I don't know if you knew that. Nuts are a very tricky body part.
I learned something new. I don't even know what to do with that information.
Well, just you'll know, figure something out. I'm sure you will.
Well, just know it. Next time you teabagging, if you just feel one, you don't get too afraid. It's
right, it happens.
Strange.
It happens. I happen, but that's like the scare. That was like one of the scariest moments of my entire life. Next to the time I almost drowned, but I'm not gonna tell you about that story.
I like the fact that he associated his misplaced testicle with him almost actually losing his life,
yeah,
and drowning. Like that was a near death experience.
Like, that would have been. Like, what would have happened? And then my friend told – I was telling this story to a friend of mine, and he was like, guess what? That happened to me, but my testicles got tangled, and he had to have one removed.
Tangled? How does that
what?
Happen?
What?
Yeah. The veins kind of that are connecting or whatever those things are, the little blah, 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 blah. They got twisted when in his sleep.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Was he Asian?
Nah, he was white. Is white. He's not dead.
I don't understand. The only time I've heard of getting your nuts chopped off is like if you have testicular cancer. Or something.
Yeah.
But other than that, I've never heard of your nuts getting tangled.
Yeah.
You must got some long nuts.
I don't know how it happened. Oh, man. It just kind of hurt. Like, I kind of have to, like, readjust after telling that story.
Oh, man.
But that actually happened. And I never looked at him the same again either. He went to school with us. I'm not going to say his name. But
did you call him Uniball?
Huh? No, I didn't call him Uniball.
So he's just walking around right now with just
one testicle.
One nut.
Testy.
One nut. One nut. You're lucky just to have just one nut. Old school song.
I have nothing.
All right, Peaches, ask your favorite question to Ken.
I don't want to ask my question. I'm still trying to figure out how your nuts get twisted.
Yo, I don't really want to talk about it because it's one of those things that make me cringe.
Your titties never got twisted?
No.
Well, like, you can get your tubes tied, right?
And that, like, they can also come undone. They, you know. Having your tubes tied isn't a fail-safe proof on getting married. I mean, having babies.
This nigga had his nuts tied. How do you do that?
He's a medical mystery.
Where they do that at? You know what I'm saying?
Look, like, I really want to. I want to know how this. I want to know the whole story.
Well, I'll call him next week.
Like, he should come on the show and talk about this.
No, I don't even know where he. I don't even know where he goes to school.
Like, your whole nuts got twisted. Like, you lost a nut.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
And but wouldn't you kind of be sad about that?
You know, I think I associate this with being cockeyed, but with your nuts. Like,
yeah.
This nigga's cocknutted.
He's cocknutted.
Like, literally, he just has a cock and a nut. That's all he's got. He's cocknutted.
Oh, shit.
I didn't know that could happen.
Well,
it happens.
Sucks to be him, man. I'm just glad I got
two.
Both my nuts.
Yeah, all three of mine are healthy. But so build your perfect woman, Ken.
My perfect woman?
Well, like, we're gonna go skin tone, hair, eye color, you know, ass to waist ratio.
Okay, we're talking strictly physical features.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we don't care about any other
person. We don't care how smart she is.
Okay, perfect woman for me, man. Like I say, I grew up on Halle Berry. Was just the one for me, man. And I find myself just totally attracted to that skin tone, that mid, because you know, like the generation of today, especially you know with hip hop. The light-skinned woman is glorified. I need a light-skinned yellow bitch.
I just found out what yellow bone meant the other day.
Just the other day? Where you been?
A couple weeks ago. She told me about it.
He's a very white man. He just happens to be hip, but he's very Caucasian.
Yeah, I'm very white.
Very Caucasian.
Like I just taught him what ups were.
Yeah.
Ups, as far as basketball?
Yeah.
I didn't know what that meant either.
I mean, what do y'all call it? Hops? Or
hops.
Leaps?
Leaps. Yeah.
It's the same. I mean,
jumping, leap. Dunking.
Jumps.
Okay. But
we call it jumping, yeah.
But yeah, honestly, you know, in the black community, especially this particular generation, the lighter toned woman is glorified. So that's the one you see in the videos, and that's the one you see, you know, on YouTube and things like that.
Why is it lighter? What is that?
Closer to white.
Is that the thing?
I really do believe that's what it is,
it's,
man.
It's a psychological.
What else could it be?
It's a psychological thing.
It's psychological. I think, you know, it's called being color struck.
Uh-huh.
Guys are very color struck, and you know, because she's bright, she's all right, and you know, because she's a lighter tone.
People relate it to a lot of things. People even go as far; they'll relate it to slavery if you let them. It's just it's easier.
I found out last night that the term palette, like the thing you sleep on the floor, like with blankets and pillows, that's a slavery thing.
That's what they slept on.
I didn't know that.
That's why a lot of people were enraged by planking, because like when they put blacks on ships and brought them over from Africa, they planked them. They literally
that's
laid
what they were
them.
Called. It was called planking.
Like they literally laid them on top of one another in the bottom of ships.
I feel so bad for posting all those pictures to Facebook now.
Yeah, it's real in the field. Hey, if you allow me to digress for a little bit, please, in your leisure time. Look up a movie called School Daze.
School Daze. I've heard of that movie.
School Daze. Spell it D-A-Z-E.
Yeah. Who's that with?
That's with...
I was just talking about this.
What's my guy, 40 Acres of Mule? Spike Lee. It's a Spike Lee
movie. Spike Lee movie.
Spike Lee
yeah.
joint. It has Lawrence Fishburne, Tisha Campbell. Mm. They really go into it on that movie as far as the sororities on a predominantly black college and university. Because back then... certain sororities will only allow you in if you are a lighter tone.
Ah.
And then basically all the outcasts from this sorority started their own sorority. So then it was light skin versus dark skin. So, you know, even to this day, it's an issue. Not to the point where people are fighting, but you can see it on the videos of today. And then you can hear it even... let's say they don't make a video for the song. You can hear, I need a bad yellow bitch, light skin, long hair, don't care. But... you know, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, we all want that.
But hey, man, you know, but as long as I can remember, the thing that caught my eye, because I grew up around light-skinned women. My mother is maybe a shade darker than you. She's very high yellow. My sister's high yellow. And I was always the darkest person.
Like highlighters.
Exactly. Brighter than a lighter, what they call it.
Oh,
so
okay.
Everything that drew my eye was the brown skin. Like a young lady that was my tone, or like I say, Halle Berry was just the end-all, be-all woman when I was growing up. So I kind of find myself being attracted to a woman with those type of attributes, with that same caramel, brown skin tone, let's say 5'5".
I like 5'5".
5'5" is nice.
I'm a fan
nice,
of 5'5".
Safe. Now, I've seen some tall women that's just
irresistible. Yeah, what is that?
Is it the legs? Is that what we have the fantasy of? I always were like, I don't like tall women. But I recently saw like a 6'4" woman or something like that. And I was just like, oh my God.
Now, don't get me wrong.
She's sexy.
I'm naming all these attributes. Not to say I'm just dead set. This is what I want. If you don't make this mold.
You know your fantasy. You get to
do what you want. But now I've seen every type of woman that owned who they are. And I was like, okay, I want her. But I would say that skin tone, for some reason, short hair does something to me. I'm not, admittedly, like I said, I keep going back to Halle Berry because when I was growing up, she had
short hair.
So that short cut and maybe like some type of asymmetrical type of deal with the hair, a certain petiteness to them. It's like it's a tricky blend, a petite, thick type of blend to where her frame is actually petite, but then like around the thighs and the buttocks gets a little thicker, and maybe like a nice solid C or D cup, nothing too big, just nice enough to fit in your mouth.
Yeah,
man, you ever seen like a nice brown, like a caramel nipple and an areola? Not like her, but like a nice.
Look, my boob to areola ratio is nice.
I believe you.
It is.
I'm going to take your word for it.
But you ever seen them titties look like a kneecap? Like the whole areola? Whole areola look like a kneecap. But,
Man.
I mean, just a nice little petite, cool, slim, but certain thick attributes to them. I like lips. I'm a lip person. I like nice, fat, juicy lips. Nothing too extreme, but a nice, full.
Like, give me a celebrity.
Well, like we said earlier,
Kerry Washington
is nice.
Yeah.
Kerry Washington is nice. But then.
Them DSLs is what we call them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But then on the flip side of that, we talked about Zoe. She's not just thick, but she's that slim, but she just has that. She owns it so
sexy.
Much.
She's sexy. She's just sexy.
To where he's like, wow.
Yeah. You know, Bradley Cooper, lucky guy.
Very. Very lucky.
Very, very lucky guy.
So if I ever make it, I'm see if I can break him up.
I'm waiting it out.
If I blow up, that'll be my mission to try to.
Who's the worst comedian you've ever heard?
Like an actual person?
Yeah, no. Figment of your imagination, yeah.
Worst comedian ever.
Well, he's thinking one of my favorites was the one of the.
I say favorite.
We talking locally or just.
I don't have or a whoever. Bad one.
Ooh, shit. That's tough, man. That's tough. Worst comedian ever.
You know who I
worst
never liked?
Worst comedian ever.
I'm not talking about who you like.
I said I didn't really like.
Oh, who?
D.L. Hughley.
Oh, wow. Are you serious?
I didn't. I was never a big fan of his.
He made me laugh, but he wasn't a huge.
Yeah, he was
I'm
all
saying,
right
like, who is awful to? Who have you watched and been like, this guy's not funny?
Well, you know what? Put it like this. I can't tell you his name, but I've never been a fan of Comic View.
Okay.
Almost every comedian on Comic View, I was like, why are you even? This isn't funny.
Really?
This is not cool.
What do you think of Tracy Morgan?
Tracy Morgan is funny.
You think he's funny? I think sometimes he's a little,
Tracy Morgan's funny.
He's funny.
And the only reason I say that because every comedian on Comic View were exactly the same.
That's true.
What you would call a nigga comic. You know, there was no thought behind your jokes. You had no thought behind your premises. You basically got up there and cooned around for 5 to 10 minutes. And it was no, you know, it was no originality. It's like every comedian were exactly the same. Nigga, man, you ever got whooping before? Oh, Lord, I've been got a little boy. Oh, you ever be with a woman? She say this. And it's like, you know.
It's the same stuff.
You've heard it before.
Yo, the dopest thing that I've ever heard from a black person, like what you were describing. I was getting my hair cut one time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was a black woman cutting my hair. I forgot what her name was. But she was telling the story.
Was it Supercuts?
Yeah, it was a Supercut.
Was it?
I don't know her name, bro.
Like, why do you know she all was, these
she,
random
she
people?
Wasn't a
like,
comedian.
What's going on?
Hold on, wait. I think I know who this is.
She wasn't a comedian.
Was it the Supercuts over on Kirby, like off of Kirby?
It might have been. I don't remember.
What's her name?
I don't. I'm not going to remember her name.
Was
if you say
a kind of a darker tone?
She was darker.
She was a little slim and petite.
She was petite. I don't know about slim.
Her name was. What's her name? Her sister's name is Tammy.
I don't know how you know any of this.
And wasn't
I didn't even describe her, and he's like, I know who you're talking
Tamika
about.
Tamika Arrington is her name.
It might be.
No, I'm telling you, that's it.
Okay, Tamika.
I went to high school with her.
So Tamika was cutting my hair.
I'll show you a picture of her. Keep talking. I got you. Would you recognize her if you saw her again?
I might.
Okay, well, keep talking. I'm listening.
Does she have short hair?
She has short hair. Nice lips.
I don't know. I didn't look that hard.
Oh, you should have noticed the lips. Yo, I'm listening. I'm going to pull up a picture
anyway.
Of her.
So this woman's cutting my hair. She's telling a story about how she was at Walmart with her child.
Okay.
And her child was acting bad, right? And she, you know, she's doing like the whole kind of show and, you know, waving her hands around, telling her about how bad the child was. Mm-hmm. And then she said that she grabbed a belt off the rack, right?
Mm-hmm.
And started whooping her child in Walmart. And then this was her kicker. This was the punchline, I guess. She goes, man, I hit that baby so hard with that belt. I had to buy the belt. I had to buy the belt. I was like, you whooped him. Like, and here I am. I've never heard anything like this ever happening. I've never been spanked before in my life or anything. Aww. I was like, what?
Never?
You never got spanked?
I can't remember if I did. I might have blocked
it. I got towed up as a child.
I retract that because the young lady I'm thinking about doesn't have any children.
Okay.
Okay.
Chris, the day you didn't come.
He bought pizza, though.
I don't. You never got.
Twizzlers.
You never got spanked as a child.
I may have blocked it out, but no, once again, I just want to say that this Brad Gilmore show has been brought to you by Incline Magazine.
This is the hilarious.
Boss up.
I told you I wanted to see it next time.
All right, here. Read number two.
Here we go. This is my claim to fame. Here.
Number two, the bold. Number two,
the bold. Number two. Hey, everybody, boss up and advertise with Incline. It went off.
Oh,
it went blank. What did I do? I hit the space bar. Yeah. Okay. Hey, everybody. This is comedian Ken Boyd, also known as Ken to the Fool. And I just want to let you know you need to boss up and advertise with Incline Magazine. Do I read the whole thing?
Yeah, do it.
Hey, I want y'all to contact the publisher, Andrea Lynn Williams, for a feature at, takeoffandincline@gmail.com.
Thank you, Ken. Ken to the Fool, Ken Boyd.
And that's coming from the heart. I didn't just, you know, I wasn't.
reading that.
That's
anything.
Not her, is it? That's not her.
No, that's not her.
Okay, yeah, because I couldn't figure that she didn't have no key.
Yeah, but big shout out to Incline Magazine. There's actually a story up there about 2011, actually, today. I was posted last night, I think.
Nice plug/segue.
It was tight, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, like I said, they're the leading in music, fashion, entertainment, business, and more. Make sure you step rise up in Incline at inclinemagazine.com. But Ken, we only have 8 minutes
left
in the show. I need you to tell me two things.
What's
best that? Experience you've had on stage, and then plug all your upcoming dates.
Best experience on stage, man. That's a tough one, man, because that could be any. I can tell you the worst.
But all right, well, let's go with the worst then.
The worst, like I said, for me, the one that sticks out is that first time. The first time I ever done it was probably the worst to me. It was worst / the best. Because, you know, it was the worst because it went so bad, but it was the best because it humbles you to the point where you walk into the next situation with a certain humility, and, you know, you appreciate the art form for what it is. But the best show, that could be any night to where every cylinder was working and everything. I was popping my improv, my material, my crowd work, everything was just on. That could have been some night out of town, or it could have been at the improv. It could have been at some bar where I was just really wasn't supposed to be on the show, got added last minute, just fucked around for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a lot that goes into this, man. You know, and I think a lot of people don't really appreciate the comedian for our art form because it looks relatively easy and a lot of people think they can do it. And and to a degree, I guess it's supposed to look like that because we're supposed to do it to the point where it looks easy. But there's a lot of factors that goes into it. So it really could have been any night where, you know, everything was just working in my favor.
It's just well-oiled machine type
thing. You know, it happens sometimes. A lot of times the game just...
You're hitting every spot. Everything
just comes to you. Really, you know, as a comedian, you're really just an open vessel. Really just supposed to let the game come to you, let it run through you.
Yeah.
Like I said, you got your material, but you have a lot of times I tell a lot of newer comics when they come to me for advice, you know, you have your material, but you don't want to be a slave to your material. And keep yourself open to where, you know, if some opportunity presents itself while you're on stage to take it and expound on it. So you know, I ain't trying to be evasive to the question, but it really could have been
in any given night.
It really could have been any given night, man, to where everything would just work. Everything just worked.
Now, what shows you have coming up? Plug them.
Like I said earlier, I got the Tony Rock this weekend, December 13th through the 16th at the Houston Improv, which is at I-10 and Silver with a B, excuse me, in the Marquee by the Dave and Buster's. That'll be Thursday through Sunday. I'll be featuring for him. I'll do maybe around 25 to 30 minutes, and then he'll come after me and do an hour. I should be doing something All-Star Weekend at the Improv. That should be.
Hey.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much, sir. That should be either that Friday or Saturday of All-Star Weekend. I'll be doing something with Dante Higgins at the top of the year. Me and him are collaborating on a project. I can't speak about it too much yet, but since we kind of share the same fan base, it was brainless. It was just
bound to happen.
It's bound to happen.
When's the DVD coming out?
The DVD is set to release at the top of the year. We're aiming for no later than January 2013. It'll be entitled "Mama Raised a Fool." If you want it and can't catch up with me, you can actually order it on my website, which is www.kentothefool.com. And for those of y'all don't know, I went to college, so everything is spelled correctly. K-E-N, then the number 2, T-H-E-F-O-L, not the fool, like T-H-A, or not the fool, D-A. K-E-N, the number 2.
Or the fool.
Exactly.
Not the fool.
And the L at the end of fool.
Fool.
And so, matter of fact, on my website, it's a lot of things you can do. You can order the DVD, you can order the Mama Raised a Fool t-shirts, and you can order the Mama Raised a Fool wristbands.
Is this your first like project out there?
Yeah. I had something else I was working on. I ended up scrapping it and went back to the drawing board. I'm very proud of what I'm about to produce because it's been a long wait. A lot of people tell me, like, man, we go come out with a comedy DVD or a comedy mixtape or a comedy CD. They want something because I've built this brand. I've built this, you know, small fan base for the few amount of years that I've been doing comedy, you know, 4 years. And so they really, really, you know, want something from me. And I refuse to put anything out there subpar.
Right.
So that's why I scrapped the first project. Because I did it just to say.
Yeah, here's something.
Shut up. Leave me alone.
For sure.
So then I said, I can't do that, man. Because, man, these people really cut for me. So I just, like I said, went back to the drawing board and got it right. And what I'm about to come out with at the top of the year is really going to be something special. So.
Well, just to reiterate, I want to thank you, sir, for coming by.
You're welcome.
And finding it and being on
time. Thank you for that.
A lot of people not on time.
Yeah, it's a problem. But he will be at the Improv December 13th through the 18th, is that what you said?
Oh, no, 13th through the 16th.
13th through the 16th.
4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
With Tony Rock. You can get tickets at improv.com or Improv Houston, I think. Or
the coolest thing about that, he actually wanted me to do it. He asked me to do it.
Like, that's dope.
Yeah, so you can go to improv.com and just go to the weekend of December 13th through the 16th, whatever day you're free, whatever day you can get a babysitter. Get your tickets. One show Thursday, which is 8 o'clock. Two shows Friday, which is 8 and 10:30. Another two shows Saturday, 8 and 10:30. One show Sunday, which is 7:30. So it's whatever fits for your schedule.
Definitely. And we want to give one more shout out to our homies over there at inclinemagazine.com. Ad space prices are actually available. $25 for 2 weeks, $45 for a month, and so on. If you any business, if you're an artist trying to get your stuff out there, anything, the next generation speaks loudly through Incline Magazine. Make sure you hit up Andrea Williams at takeoffandincline@gmail.com or go to inclinemagazine.com. I want to thank Ken to the Fool or Ken Boyd.
Thank you.
For my Caucasian listeners.
We both thank you.
They both thank you.
All of you.
And anyway.
Thanks for having me, really, man. I really hope y'all can find time to come check me out this weekend. Hey, can we do this? If y'all think I'm funny, can y'all mention me? Do y'all do reports here? Do y'all do like write ups?
We will.
We can make.
We'll do
we can,
one
we
for
might
you.
Be able but to
yeah,
make
if y'all
happen.
Like, if y'all like it, just tell the people what y'all thought about my show.
We'll review this next Tuesday. We'll do that. But for DJ Motai, say bye, DJ Motai.
Bye.
That's the fifth word he said in 2 hours.
I want you to do an Asia can bye.
Bye.
Bye. See you later.
There you go.
It didn't sound like he was acting when he said that.
Right? No, that was real. And for Tata La Peaches, follow her at Tata La Peaches on Twitter.
You know.
At DJ Motai, at Brad Gilmore, at Local Live Chris, at Local Live Jordan. Let's get there.
Can I have a Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
Ken to the Fool.
Yeah, everything I do has that brand on it. Add Ken to the Fool, K-E-N, number 2, T-H-E-N-F-O-L.
Make sure y'all tune in next week and stay tuned for the show after mine, which is Free Thinkers Radio.
You know.
With your host, Micah and Derek. And this has been the brag. I don't know. I don't know why I'm finding that funny. His name is Micah Jackson.
Micah Jackson.
It's so close, right?
M-I-C-A-H.
I don't know.
Oh, that's cool. That's a cool name.
Micah Jackson. It's so close to Michael. But anyway, for Tata La Peaches and DJ Motai and Ken to the Fool, I'm Brad Gilmore. Thank you for tuning in.
I'm glad.
Check us out.
I hope y'all enjoyed me. Thanks.
Deuces.
Fellas, raise your glasses and use a track to tip them older women, sophisticated and passionate. Cook clean, independent, and we'll do ya. This one's for the cougars. This one's for the cougars. Fellas, raise your glasses and use a track to tip them older women, sophisticated and passionate. Cook clean, independent, and we'll do ya. This one's for the cougars. This one's for the cougars. Walked into a bar with bad intentions on my mind. Seldomly looking for love, I'm looking for someone that's fine. Shy away from the regulars, of which I've had a plethora. I need a one-night stand without all the etceteras. Sit at a booth with a couple of friends. 2 minutes later, waiter brings me a shot of gin. Huh? I didn't order this. No, it's compliments. Courtesy of the miss with dark hair and blue sequins. To my surprise, cruised over to say hi. Thank you for the drink, and as I said goodbye, she grabbed me close and put her arms around my shoulders. Whispered in my ear, though, you ever had older? Punana, no beating around the bush, no pun intended. Her on top of me is where my night ended. Now all my friends think I'm so much cooler. Dude, do you understand? You hooked it with the cougar. Fellas, raise your glasses if you's attracted to them older women, sophisticated and passionate. Cook clean, independent, and we'll do ya. This one's for the cougars. This one's for the cougars. Fellas, raise your glasses if you's attracted to them older women, sophisticated and passionate. Cook clean, independent, and we'll do ya. This one's for the cougars. This one's for the cougars. Couple of weeks of dating a cougar, and it seems much cooler. Not only will she screw ya, she gives your boy roofers. That's head to all the girls who refuse to go down because you missed the clues I sent ya. Sex drive of the bunny with money without having to say the corny love words, baby and honey. No